much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's the one thing that never gets old? Listen how the story unfolds.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I was found on YouTube. I think that I was detrimental to my own career.
I guess so. This is a crazy world we live in.
Well, I'm going to read my speech. I had worked hard on it. In the words of Grandmaster Flash, you going high on that cocaine, you going crazy like a cocaine train.
Dad, what does this mean?
What I love to think about this is it's a puzzle. And each of every one of us is an integral piece that puts a big picture. And once we're all together, it puts a big picture. And so it lets us to see the big picture. Yeah.
And now.
This is weird and disturbing, and I don't like it, and I don't want it, and stop it.
Our feature presentation.
I could not understand what that person said. Now I know how you all feel.
Morning, see? Everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 5:35 on Thursday, the 13th of March.
I'm $2,700 in debt, but I've got an 18 parlay that's going to get me halfway out.
Oh, I forgot about that.
How did that go?
Bugs?
Not in the room.
Oh, well, you said, how did that go? I thought you were asking Muggs.
No, we thought you knew.
We thought you knew.
Like you
no, I don't have any idea.
Oh, man.
Muggs is now
here. Here it comes. So badly done.
Try it again, Bean. I think it'll work this time.
I don't know if I want to
now. I feel good now.
Quit being so Muggsy, Muggs.
How'd it go to another studio?
Hold on.
Oh.
$2,700 in the hole.
Go.
Bet $300 yesterday, team parlay. Go.
$3,000 in the hole.
Yeah!
What a surprise.
Yeah. And we thought
were
that would
shocked?
Work.
No, I wasn't shocked. I was expecting it.
Are you done gambling now?
Yeah. No, I am. There's no getting out of the hole. I'm just...
For how long?
Until I pay this off, at least. And then after that...
Bean, can I tell you what he said in the office yesterday? I don't think you were still on the phone.
Yes, please.
His plan is that he's going to get an advance on his credit card.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you said that on the air yesterday,
too.
Okay. And we were talking about it afterwards, and, you know, those are like, 37% or something like
right.
that.
Right. Ridiculous. Right. That's last resort. That's the worst possible financial decision one can make.
Correct. And that is his plan.
That's my first resort.
To get back to zero. So then I said, well, then now you're at zero, bet away. Right? You need to make that back. You need to make some money. And he's like, nope. I'm done for good. And we, all of us in the room are like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
So once you pay the exorbitant interest rate on the credit card to get out from under your bookie, your $3,000, then you're done gambling, though. Then you're not going to dig yourself another hole, right?
Well, I'm not done gambling, but I'm not going to dig myself a hole.
You're going to gamble and win.
You're going to do it differently than the way you're doing it. You're just only going to bet on sure things.
He did say yesterday he would get a better system.
Not even sure things. Not as much as I've been betting. Not the amount I've been betting.
The problem is he's been betting a lot of money. Yeah. Instead of $20, he bets $100.
I'm betting money that I don't have right now.
That is a problem.
But that's always the case.
Yeah.
How did you start betting? You got advanced credit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you never had the money in hand when you started gambling. Ever.
Not all of it.
Why are we not getting through here?
Unbelievable.
I finally know what it's like to be a parent, by the way.
Unbelievable.
So, Muggs, why not just not gamble anymore after you're out of debt and then go, hey, all this money that I used to spend on gambling and lose, now I can use it to
buy weed.
You know, put something, buy weed perhaps. I was thinking put something aside for that day that's coming very soon, we hope, when I lose my job.
Because the thrill of the win will always be there for me, I guess.
Right.
Haven't felt that in a while.
You sure haven't?
No.
You don't even know what that's like.
Nope.
Well, just anytime you're in Las Vegas, what do they always say? Take a look at all those casinos and think about how they weren't built on people winning.
Yeah, yeah. If it, you know, any consolation, I did hit 6 out of 8.
How did that do for you? Did you win some money?
No, but I got six of them right.
You know what?
So you win three quarters of the amount you hoped to win, right?
Not nothing.
You know what the definition of a parlay is, right?
You got to hit all of them.
Yeah, you could have hit seven and it wouldn't have counted.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So that's no consolation.
I know.
Yeah.
It sucks.
All right, Muggs. Well, like the caller we had yesterday said on the show, just keep doing what you're doing because it's working for you.
It does seem to be working.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay. Let's get this out of the way. What did you come here to plug?
Came here to plug today's show, where we have Andy Daly in the studio talking about a new TV show called Review.
Okay. He's hilarious. And he's one of those guys, if you don't know the name, it's just because you're not looking at his face. You would so recognize him. He's on so many great shows, and he's always hilarious.
We have Jason Doering and Ryan Hansen on the program today. They play Logan and Dick on Veronica Mars.
Woo!
Talking about the movie.
Cool.
So excited.
Wasn't that long ago we started talking about the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yep, and here we are.
Dr. Drew will be on the show today. We have Greg Fitzsimmons, comedian.
Hilarious.
And we have your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
Is your plug finally over?
I believe it is, yes. We'll be right back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
We are the most music in the morning. That's us. Ralph Garman joins us now for a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, lots of things. Like Stacey Keibler. She just got married last week in Mexico.
What's wrong with your bell? It's all janky.
It gets jammed up against stuff, and then I just have to move it in the clearing. I have a very crowded workspace here today. Yeah. Sorry.
Gets gooped up with stuff.
Nope.
Nothing like that.
Good cleaning.
Just nope.
Up against some pens is all.
Oh, yeah. Pen. Whatever you want to call it. Just because it looks like one doesn't mean it is one, man. Married her fiancé, Jared Pobre, last week in Mexico. Now reportedly pregnant. Expect her first child. She does not fool around.
Man.
Boom.
They
boom.
Meant business.
Boom.
Isn't that the definition of fooling around?
They'll be divorced by the end of the month. She is just get. Let's get through this. I got things to do. Hey, married, got a baby, got a divorce.
Have a college lined up yet?
Dead by April. She's just going through life at the speed of light.
Oh, man.
Sad news in the world of celebrity romance. Matt and Amy Roloff are separating.
I don't... And they would be...
I don't know who
come
that...
Come on!
And we would know them
the Roloffs!
From...
I don't know the
Roloffs. Little People, Big World!
Oh!
They're the America's favorite little people couple from the TLC show. Doing a trial separation after four kids and 26 years of marriage.
Wow.
The separation will be a one-hour special on TLC coming up on March 25th, by the way. Matt remains living on our farm in our guest house. Says Amy, we work together every day on the farm in our business endeavors and most importantly raising our amazing children.
Are their children small as well?
I don't know. I've never watched the show, so I don't know. Not necessarily, you know. Sometimes there's regular-sized kids born to little people families. But reportedly, the separation comes after Matt announced he wants to see other people's knees.
Really?
Yeah.
He's cheating.
He's cheating. Yeah. Just with the knees, though. And while we're talking about love, how about this list from Little Lover? Big story. Big story from In Touch magazine, where reportedly Lindsay, sitting with some girlfriends at a hotel bar, started writing down a list of all the famous Hollywood lovers she's ever had.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Then someone took a photo of that list, and then...
she's got no friends.
Somehow In Touch magazine now has the photo. It was her personal conquest list, says the source. She was trying to impress her friends with her list, and then she tossed it aside. Well, if you're going to write that list down, you don't leave it behind at the hotel bar.
Yeah.
Ralph, I remember you telling us once a while ago that you wrote down a list. You kept an ongoing list.
I did.
Of the ladies.
I did, till I got overwhelmed.
Once he hit 10,000.
Until you couldn't lift it anymore.
It's too much.
It's too much.
And now you got this Lindsay story. Is this a common thing? Is this something people do, or is this still infrequent that we see something like that?
It's a thing people do. Those of us with multiple sex partners, being who have more than one conquest, the people often write them down.
Okay.
Not always for a bragging situation. Like in Lindsay's case, apparently she was trying to show off for her friends. Writing down all the famous names of men she had been with.
Well, yours was just so you knew how to notify in the event of an STD, right?
I mean, mine was just a memorial
like
thing.
Like a memoir.
Yeah, I wanted to be able to remember
sure
these women, so I'd be able to look down the list and go, oh, I haven't thought about her in years. Oh, my goodness, what a wonderful time we had. It was just, for me, my own personal memory.
And then you had a booty call rotation. Well, it's been 3 months. I'll give her a call.
How dare you? How dare you?
You want to know who was on the list?
Sure.
Sure.
Here's the interesting thing. Some of the names are blurred out in the photograph.
What?
It's a list of over 30 names, by the way.
The non-celebrities, I think they blurred out.
No! Wrong!
Oh, no?
Incorrect mundo, sir!
Okay.
Who blurred it, then?
The person who sent the photo in touch, Us Weekly.
Okay.
Or Us, or In Touch themselves.
Yeah, because I was
kind of unclear.
Say.
But rumor has it the reason they're blurred is because these particular Hollywood celebrities are not single.
Oh!
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
You want to destroy marriages with this list, or you just want to have some fun? I guess was
gotcha.
The question that finally came down to.
Plus, what happens to the president, too?
What so the what?
Put that on.
Here you go. Here's your list of the ones we can read. Lucas Haas. Yeah. Woo!
I don't
he was the kid from Witness.
Okay.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix. How about that?
All right.
I bet he smells. Evan Peters. Wilmer Valderrama. Well, there's no surprise.
We do that.
Shock
yeah,
sure.
Jamie Burke, Jamie Dornan, Zac Efron on the list. Who would have thought he would be interested in a woman? Justin
Zach's
Timberlake.
Always been straight, by the way.
Justin Timberlake.
Sure.
Colin Farrell. Heath Ledger. Ryan Rothman. Max George. He's the guy from The Wanted. We knew they were bagging around, right?
Right.
Guy Berryman. James Franco. Adam Levine.
Wow.
She does good
Guy
work.
Guy Berryman is Coldplay, right?
Yeah. Garrett Hedlund.
Actor.
That's
the Game of Thrones list.
Those are the ones we can read, yeah. So
That's quite a list.
Yeah, it is.
Lisa, are you jealous at all of that list? Is that impressive?
Well, it's impressive. I have my own list.
What? I know. What? But what do you think
you don't
about
know
the,
any of them.
The quality of her choices is what I'm asking you. What about the...
She's
I mean,
all over the place.
But it looks like the usual suspects. I'm yeah. guessing these guys have banged their way through most of young Hollywood.
Right.
There's no surprises on the list.
Right.
I want to see the names that are blurred.
Yeah, that's all you want
those
now.
Are the surprise names.
Right, that's where you want to see Bill Nye and people like that, right.
Bill Nye?
Bill Nye. Or whoever.
Is that a joke?
Or whoever. Yes, it's
Bill
a joke.
Nye.
Well, I'm saying you said there's no surprises on the list. I'm saying you're looking for names like that. That would be a surprise. That's what you want to see. Right?
Mr. Wizard.
Sure.
Exactly.
When you're syndicated, you probably
sure.
have her.
Petros. I'm sure Petros was on that list before it got blurred.
Today's celebrity birthdays, William H. Macy. How much do you love William H. Macy?
All.
He's the best.
He's the best. That Shameless show is terrific. He's amazing on it. He's always been good in everything he's ever done. How many actors can you say that about? 64 years old today. Actress Dana Delaney, she's 58. Adam Clayton of U2 is 54. Actress Annabeth Gish, 43 years old today. Common, the rapper and actor, is 42. Danny Masterson celebrates his 38th birthday. And actor Emil Hirsch, another pretty talented guy, is 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The always delightful actor Zachary Levi joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 10 minutes or so. He, of course, from Chuck and Thor 2 and the Nerd Machine down in San Diego at Comic-Con. He's got some big news for us coming up. First, though, Kevin and Bean Afroline is on the air at 323-520-AFRO.
Most of us have a filter so that we can tell what's important and what's not important. Let's say, your brother is sick. That's important.
Right.
Let's say somebody loses a shoestring. Not important.
Good point.
Bean's a little upside down. Bean goes crazy over the minutia. The tiniest little things drive him crazy, and he spent all weekend, last weekend, correcting people who were saying daylight savings time. Because
time well
that's,
spent.
That's incorrect, and you should know that! Because there's no S in savings, it's just daylight saving.
Yes.
And so he corrected and corrected and corrected.
Bean, shut the hell up.
One.
Kids, baseball practices, soccer practices, everything you could do at daylight savings, man. Not all of us have a lot of money to pay for gardeners, so I like to mow my lawn during the week. So the average Joe really enjoys the daylight savings.
He's just rubbing it in now.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to say I love the Kevin and Bean show. Wait, is it Kevin and Bean or Kevin and Bean's show? Bean, you're a dick.
Or is it Dick's?
It's a good question.
Hey, Bean, you are absolutely right. It is indeed daylight saving time. So I say daylight saving time.
And when other people say daylight savings time, I shut the f*** up because it doesn't affect me in any way.
Wow, that's perfect.
that's
a different way to go. Argument.
You know, I have to work early in the morning. I listen to the podcast. And then I got to hear you rambling on about the stupid daylight saving time. No one f***ing cares. Knock it off already. Honest. Knock it off. Honestly. Knock the shit off.
Guy means it.
I'm noticing a through line to just all the bit. Calls on the Afterline today.
Although now they're going to turn their attention to mugs.
I got an idea. If Beer Mug likes to talk to people a lot when he's drinking, then why doesn't he do his interviews drunk? It'd be a heck of a lot more interesting than the ones he does now. Maybe it's up.
It's a great idea.
I don't know. I've heard him. I've heard his drunk conversation. I don't think it's better.
No, I agree. Okay.
No, it's meaningless and endless. That's his conversation when he's drunk. Everybody's been trying to figure out what I said when this came out of my mouth.
But I'll probably have his picture there with a little.
Here's a color on that.
I know exactly what Kevin was trying to say. He was trying to say that they'll probably have a picture of him holding the salt and pepper shakers that he got for her.
Oh, because we were talking about Dave not being let into the Veronica Mars night at the Paley.
Right, yes, exactly.
Interesting.
So if you have your theory, you can let us know.
I'll probably have his picture there with a sudden.
What happened?
You know what? That's a pretty strong guess, I think. Now, Lisa had a good guess, too, which is she thought you were saying his picture with a circle with a line through it is where you were headed.
That's possible.
It, which would have also,
that
made, also sense.
Made sense.
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing is that we'll never know because I'm the one that said it, and I literally have no idea. So good luck.
No, it's hard to believe, but Comic-Con is already right around the corner. Here we are in the middle of March. That'll be happening in the middle of July. We go down there every year, broadcast live for a few days. Remember how much fun we had at Nerd HQ last year, Kevin?
Yeah, that was awesome.
This is the thing that is right adjacent to Petco Park in San Diego. It goes on the same time as Comic-Con, and our friend Zach Levi runs the thing, and he just gets the great guests. He does all these film and TV panels. Last year, he had Doctor Who down there, and he did stuff with Hannibal and Orphan Black. Remember, they watched Firefly with Nathan Fillion, and the audience got to ask questions. Very cool stuff. Well, it's possible that Nerd HQ is in trouble, and we can't let that stand, so we asked Zach to join us here on the Kevin and Bean Show so we can find out what's up and how we can help. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me back.
Sure.
Well, it's our pleasure. We understand that you need some help from the kids.
I do, yeah. Well, I mean, so basically, you know, Nerd HQ, as you guys saw, it's just, you know, it's a really fun event. And essentially, it's just, you know, my way of trying to bring celebrities and fans together in, like, kind of really fun and interactive and intimate ways while simultaneously raising as much money as we can for charity. And it's been a fantastic ride the last 3 years, but the way we've been doing it, we've been financing it through sponsorship money, but sponsorship schedules and production schedules don't exactly add up. And by that, I mean, you know, we got to start like securing the venue and paying production staff like months and months and months in advance, but sponsorship dollars don't come in until much closer to the event, if sometimes not afterwards. So the last 3 years, a lot of people don't know this, but I've been putting my own money into the event, and then I'd reimburse myself. And the first couple of years, that basically worked out. But last year, I got really hosed. some sponsors, like really big money sponsors that were promising and promising and promising, at the last second, they dropped out. And I had a decision. I was like, well, I can either just, you know, pack up my toys and go home, or I can just, you know, I was pot committed. I'm like, look, you know, all right, forget it. Let's do this. I believe in the event, and I believe in the happiness that it brings people and the difference that it makes in the world. So I just forged ahead, and it was an epic event. I mean, I'm so glad that I did. I just knew from that point forward I couldn't actually afford to do that anymore if that was the case. So
right.
I was like, you know what, look, this is about the fans anyway. It's always been about the fans. I want to bring them something that's really special, and the celebrities, give them an opportunity to connect with their fans in special ways, because I'm a firm believer that as an actor, as an entertainer, you're only as good as your fan base. So you might as well give back to them and connect with them in ways that you can that are safe. You know, there's a lot of ways that can get kind of hairy, but I think I provide a really safe and fun way to do that. And
it's free for the people that come down there. That's a very cool thing.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things, is that it's a totally free event. You don't need to buy a pass or anything to get in. The only things that cost you money are the, you know, aside from like buying some merchandise or, you know, some food and beverage, is all the charitable activations, like the photo booths that we do and the signings that we do and all the panels that we do. And we also live stream all those panels for free to the rest of the world. So even if you're in Australia or Thailand, you can still enjoy, you know, 20-plus hours of these hour-long, off-the-cuff Q&As between fans and celebrities. So I tried to, and that's why, by the way, you know, from the beginning, people were throwing around the idea, why don't we crowdfund this? And I just, I don't know, it never felt right because I never wanted to take anybody's money. I just wanted to give it to them for free. And then after last year, I thought, look, if I just ask people, and really this is all I'm doing, if you go to the Indiegogo, our Indiegogo campaign, I'm just asking people for $5. If they want to give more, I will gladly take more and I will put it toward making the event. But I just believe that I want this to be a collective thing. I want everyone to feel like they're on equal footing and that we're doing this together, and which is why this campaign is different than basically any other crowdfunding campaign, because there's no like perks or reward structure. Like if you give $100, you don't get more than somebody who gives $5, because I just don't believe, and me personally, and this might be ideological, but I've never felt right about that. I feel like if, you know, for some people, $5 might as well be $100, and that's right, all they can offer. But I don't want them to feel any less incentivized or rewarded because that's all they could offer. So if you got 100 and you want to give it, God bless you. If you've only got 5, God bless you too. I love you just as much.
Zach, let me ask you this, and forgive me if this is a dumb question, but why don't you just fold into the official Comic-Con? And that way you'll have sponsorship money the same as all the people who are at the convention center and all the other things that are going on in town that weekend.
Well, that's an excellent question. I mean, we've actually never – that's more a question for Comic-Con themselves. You know, those guys are hard at work putting together that convention every year. And we were an off-site pop-up that just – you know, we wanted to do stuff that was kind of complementary to Comic-Con. Comic-Con itself does, like, really awesome, massive panels with huge, huge stars, like the entire cast of Avengers, you know, like studios and networks really, you know, make it happen for that kind of stuff. And what we're doing is basically just piggybacking and being like, hey, actor X, you happen to be in San Diego during this time. Would you offer us an hour of your time to come and raise money for charity and talk to your fans? So I don't know that we would, you know, if they ever approached us and said, hey, we would love to bring you into the fold and you can still do what you do under our umbrella, I'm sure we'd be open to that conversation. But that gets a little messier, or it's trickier with the business model, I think.
Well, at least you know you're going to have that one handsome guy from Thor 2. At least you know he'll be there.
I'm assuming you're talking about Chris Hemsworth.
Of course, obviously. All right, so we go to Indiegogo.com, and all we need to do is type in what? I want my Nerd HQ?
That's exactly right. You go to Indiegogo.com, you type in, I want my Nerd HQ in their search bar, and it brings up our campaign. And I have a video up there. I try to keep it as short and sweet as possible. And there's other videos and other clips. And so it really gives you an idea of what Nerd HQ is. And for anybody out there listening, this is not just like comic booky, you know, typical nerdy type of thing. I mean, we named it that because it takes place during Comic-Con and because it definitely kind of, you know, embraces that world. But for anyone out there who enjoys any of these things like Orphan Black, like Doctor Who, like the Avengers, like Chuck, I know I'm naming a lot of things that live in the nerd world, but by the way, it's all pop culture and it's all stuff that people, I think, really do embrace now, even if you don't go to Comic-Con. And I'm telling you, some of the best interviews, because they're not interviewed by anyone other than the fans. So the questions that are asked are so insightful and so powerful and so much fun. I mean, you know, Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki in the Avengers and who's just an awesome dude and blowing up as a star in the world, like somebody asked him to impersonate. They had seen him online doing some weird Velociraptor impersonation from Jurassic Park, and they asked him to do it on stage, and he sure enough, he just gets up and does it. And you don't get that kind of stuff anyway. You don't get that on Leno. You don't get that on nighttime talk shows. You know, those are all very structured, and like you get about 15 minutes talking to those guys. But here, you get an hour. I mean, when we offer it for free, unless you're there in the audience and you pay $20 and every penny goes to charity, to Operation Smile, who I'm an ambassador for. And, you know, Operation Smile is an incredible organization. If you don't know, they go all over the developing world and they help fix cleft lips and cleft palates for children that were born with these defects and change lives, you know. And for every $240 that we raise, that's basically another life changed. And up to date, we've raised $415,000, and we just want to keep raising more and more and more and making fans happier. And another thing, too, for anybody out there, you know, any Chuck fans, a lot of people keep asking me, like, well, you know, does this come with a Chuck movie? And I'm like, well, look, my plan has always been to make a Chuck movie, but a Chuck movie is going to cost $5 million at least. So I need to be able to show the people in power that own Chuck that, hey, I can raise at least $1 million, so can you trust me with trying to raise $5 million?
Right.
If I can't raise $1 million now, I don't know that they'll ever believe that I can go make a Chuck movie. So if you're out there and you're on the fence and you're wondering why you should donate, just for the love of God, please help me.
I got to tell you, it is – Bean and I have been to many, 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 many events, and this one really does stand out as exceptional. You walk in, it's free, you walk around, you get to play video games, you get to see cool art, you get all of these different TV shows that are there. It is amazing and well worthwhile.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. And I really do, this isn't patting myself on the back as much as just what I feel when I'm there. And the collective of the people and the happiness, and you know, like it's crazy, it's tangible. I feel it every time we do it, and it just drives me to want to do it again, because there's as much as there can be a feeling on a place, you know, like it feels good, and you feel people's like kind of little dreams coming true when they get to take a photo with their favorite celebs, or they get to go and just hang out with their friends and play like new video games that aren't on the market yet for free. You know, I like making people happy. I feel like if there's one thing that God made me to do in this world, it's to bring smiles to people's faces and make them happy. And the more that I can keep doing Nerd HQ, the longer I get to do that. So it really meant a lot that you guys came down and got to actually feel all that last year, because I really do.
Well, we appreciate the invitation, and I hope we'll get a chance to do it again this July. I hope this works out the way you want. Zach is just asking for $5 more. If you can spare it, go to Indiegogo.com and look for I Want My Nerd HQ. Zach, always a pleasure to have you on the show, man. Good luck to you.
Love you guys. God bless you guys. Thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry, can I hear more of that?
Yaman!
Oh, love The Lion King. I've seen it 4 times on Broadway. One of my favorite numbers.
What's happening with that song?
That's Imagine Dragons, Top of the World, On Top of the World.
Remember when,
seriously, what the f***?
Remember when the baboon's holding up the little cub?
I think that's when they played that song.
Sure.
I'm on top of the world, and the giraffes are all swaying and everything. I love that scene.
Well, I'm glad it's back. I'm here 20 years later. Hey, the hilarious Andy Daly is in the next room. He'll be joining us in a moment from Reno 911 and Eastbound and Down and Semi-Pro and so many funny things and the hit new series on Comedy Central called Review. So we'll talk to Andy coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Modern Family. He's the principal.
He's been on everything.
He's just so talented.
So funny.
And I love Review. It's so funny, what I've seen so far. I mean, it could suck after the first couple episodes. Who knows?
But you can vouch for two?
I am very encouraged.
All right.
I'm very encouraged. Let's get to some show business news. Before I do mention that, I do want to give a shout-out to our buddy Jim Jeffries, who is performing at the Club Nokia. Club Nokia would be a bad place
different.
To go.
Yeah.
That's right near Chernobyl, I think. Club Nokia. Club Nokia. On March the 29th, he's doing his stand-up there, and boy, is he funny live. If you've never seen Jim Jeffries in a stand-up situation, if you just know him from Legit, you're missing out, because he's brilliant. March 29th is the date. Tickets are available now at axs.com. If you want to check out Jim Jeffries, I highly recommend it. I just want to give you a heads up. He's also
be careful, though, if you're sick, because if he tells that joke about how easy it is to get Asian babies, you might die. It happened on Legit.
I know. Okay. But you don't have to go there, man. You're not going to be like that. Let's, here's the thing.
I'm on top of the world.
Hey!
It gets stuck in your head all day.
Here's the thing. President Obama goes on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
Which is awesome.
And crushes it.
Yes.
Did a great job, I thought.
Hilarious.
Zach's always funny. President Obama, time and time again, this guy has proven that he's got a sense of humor. He was on Jimmy Fallon. He was slow jamming the news. And he seems like a good guy who just has a sense of humor about himself and about the office and about his position, and doesn't take himself too seriously, and seems to be able to reach out to people in a humorous way while also trying to get his message across.
Which he does well, too.
Which you think would be uniformly praised, and everyone should just appreciate that we've got a guy in the Oval Office who seems to have a personality.
This Between Two Ferns, he goes to where the people are. He knows people will watch this because it's hilarious rather than going on a stupid Sunday morning TV show that only 80-year-olds are watching.
It's a guy who cares enough about what he's trying to talk about to reach out to people in any way he can.
But this is politics, Ralph.
I understand that, but you would think there were some things where everybody would say, well, you know what, that's a pretty good thing. It's good for America to have a commander-in-chief that they can relate to, and if humor helps bridge that gap between the high office and the people that he serves, then that's a good thing. Regardless of who's in the office, that's a good model to follow. Well, as you can imagine, that's just not the case. Bill O'Reilly.
Of course.
Sure.
Blasted President Obama for his Between Two Ferns interview. Here's his three main points against it.
All right.
To use comedy to promote Obamacare, says Bill O'Reilly, comes off as a little bit desperate, don't you think?
What?
Accused President Obama of seeming desperate by appearing.
Yes, don't publicize something. That's just desperate.
If you hate Obamacare, that's one thing. But using comedy to sell anything is fine if you get your message
that's
across.
What we do.
It's never desperate. It's effective.
It's a good use of...
Right?
Yeah. But I think this is the problem. So many people hate Obamacare that they can't see straight.
But he didn't say, I hate Obamacare.
I know.
He said President Obama seemed desperate by trying to promote Obamacare by going through a humorous format.
Yeah.
Which I think is ludicrous. Ludicrous.
I don't believe he was
show.
On the show.
Not on the show. He also said that releasing it during the great big Crimean crisis will encourage Vladimir Putin to do terrible things.
What?
You're encouraging Vladimir Putin by seeming soft and weak by being on a comedic web series.
He didn't say that.
He said it. Putin said it. Oh, look, Obama is weak now. He's on Comedy Central program. Now I must crush America with Between Two Ferns.
So if the president had gone out shirtless on horseback, Bill O'Reilly would have been, that's
strength.
The image. That's the way you want to be shown.
Wow.
And
considerable drop-off from point one to point B, too.
My favorite point of Bill
O'Reilly's.
Why is
it point one and point B? Why is it not one and two and A and B?
Why can't it just follow suit?
That always cracks me up.
The last point, the third point, I think is probably his most valid.
Okay.
All I can tell you is Abraham Lincoln would not have done it.
That's true. He never appeared in a YouTube video.
Lincoln famously hated social media. He did not have a Twitter account. He was not on Facebook.
Although that was hard to argue.
He's absolutely right.
He wins.
Lincoln hated the internet. He really did. He was not a fan of the internet. He never once. There's no record of him ever participating on anything on the internet. So,
good point, Mr. O'Reilly.
Mr. O'Reilly's got us there.
Point O'Reilly.
Abe Lincoln would not have done it. Holy moly. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. William H. Macy is 64 years old today. Dana Delaney is 58. You ever see that Body of Evidence show over there on ABC? Is it still on? Did they cancel it yet? Oh, it's horrible.
Is it bad?
It's tough. Mm. Adam Clayton of U2, and I like her. I like Dana Delaney a lot.
Yeah.
I love China Beach. I liked her in Tombstone. I've liked her in many, many performances. I think she's underserved by that show. Adam Clayton of U2 is 54. Annabeth Gish celebrates her 43rd birthday. Common rapper, actor, Sense. He is 42 years old today.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Really? Sense?
Is there not common sense?
There is.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Where do you think it came from?
All right. I didn't know it came from common.
Danny Masterson is 38 years old, and actor Emil Hirsch celebrates his 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Andy Daly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm here.
Are you on top of the world? You got your little steel drums going in the other room, too?
I'm on top of the world. Hey!
Yes, I heard that song. I heard it while I was in the bathroom and really enjoyed it there.
Andy is one of those guys, and I'm sure you know this because you're Andy, that people come up to everybody recognizes you. Everybody recognizes you. Almost nobody knows what from. Am I correct?
Yeah, right. I get a lot of those looks, and I see a lot of conversations going on between couples.
Was he the guy? I don't know. What was he? I can't place him.
And what I do is I walk over and I hand them, I have a laminated updated card with my resume. I update it, and I just go, here, take this. And
I like it.
It's like a menu. You can decide what you recognize.
And then they go, no.
That's not it.
I've never seen any of these shows. I thought you were our gardener.
Oh. I was guessing that Reno 911, just because of the sheer number of seasons that you appeared on that program, would be at the top of the list of people, what they know you from.
I think Eastbound and Down is at the top, and then and then it might be Reno and then Mad TV after that. Are probably the big ones.
But, yeah, and Semi-Pro, obviously, is another one that you probably get a lot of because you were so memorable.
Thanks,
that one as well.
Yes, I do hear about Semi-Pro.
So you're a comedian.
I think sometimes.
But have been doing a lot of acting over the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And now you got your own show, Andy Daly.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. It's so exciting.
Tell us about the show, Review.
It's called Review, and it's on Comedy Central Thursday nights at 10. Hey, wait, it's Thursday now. That's tonight.
What?
What? I have to get ready to live tweet. Find the perfect chair. Yeah, it's a show about a guy who is a reviewer, but he doesn't review movies, books, or food. He reviews life itself, and so his viewers, it's all scripted, but his phony viewers write in to tell him, to just ask, like, tonight they're asking, what's it like to make a sex tape, or what's it like to be a racist, or what's it like to go hunting? And he will never turn down any request, and he will take it to the fullest extent to find out what it is about, and come back and rate every experience on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, like an idiot.
It's an unbelievable premise for a show. Where did it come from, Andy?
Well, it was an Australian series. They did it for 2 seasons down there, and it was a real cult hit in Australia. And this is the thing I'm proudest of in the world. Some Australian just tweeted at me a couple of days ago. He's just one guy, but I hope he's representative of the whole country.
I'm sure he is.
He said, thank you for not screwing up our show.
All right.
Oh, nice.
A great feeling.
No kidding.
Nice. Yeah. So your guy that you play, what's his name? Forrest McNeil.
Yes.
He is committed. Like the episode that I saw, the debut episode from last week, when somebody says, what's it like to be on drugs, he really goes for it, right?
Yeah. Well, the question, what's it like to get addicted to something? And he goes, well, I'm going to go out and sample some of the most addictive substances in the world and get myself an addiction and tell you what it's like. And that's just it. He feels like this is an important service to humanity that he's engaged in, and that he is uniquely qualified to do it. Of course, the truth is, it's not very helpful to rate life experiences on a scale of 1 to 5 stars. That doesn't actually tell us much.
Right.
And he is uniquely unqualified to do it, it turns out.
Let me play a clip that will give you an idea of what the show is all about. We're talking about Review, which airs Thursday nights. Hey, that's tonight at 10 on Comedy Central. So your character, I think you're deep into the throes of cocaine addiction at this point, and you take your son out on a Boy Scout camping trip, and you start to realize, hey, it's been too long since I've had some coke.
Being separated from cocaine for 6 hours made me realize I had a problem, and I needed help in the form of more cocaine.
Oh, man, we're going to do everything this weekend. We're going to get our bird watching badges. Who wants their bird watching? If anybody wants their bird watching badge, we're going to do it. We're going to find some birds, and we're going to watch them, and then we're going to get our orienteering badges. You guys...
Your nose is bleeding.
That's because I'm having a heart attack, you guys. Dad? Oh, I'm having a heart attack.
Have shooting pain down your arm?
Yeah, I got shooting pains everywhere. Oh my God, I'm having a hard time. I'm definitely gonna die. I am definitely gonna die. Oh God! Oh, shut up. How do you know CPR? Why do you know CPR? This kid's a cop. This kid's a cop.
You are awesome on coke, Andy.
Coked up bird watching. What sounds better than that?
That does sound like a good mix.
Man, oh man.
Also, last week you wanted to find somebody asked what it's like to steal. I think it was. So you start with shoplifting and then work your way up to armed bank robbery. So you were very, very committed to that.
Yeah.
One of your future episodes, somebody wants to know what it's like to go through a divorce, and your character goes home and tries to divorce his wife, right?
Yeah, that's next week's episode.
Oops.
no, that's all right.
Oh, okay.
No, I think that's a good spoiler. Big, like I say, absolutely, he cannot say no to anything. That's just his ethic. Somebody wants to know what's it like to get a divorce. He asked his wife for a divorce, and the crazy thing, the fun thing about that scene is that she wants a reason, like people usually do when their spouse asks for a divorce.
Why?
He doesn't really have one.
Because I've been challenged.
Right, exactly.
Is the actual answer.
He cannot. It would skew the results of his experiment to ever tell somebody, I'm doing this for my television show. So he can't give that reason, and he doesn't have another one. So that makes sense.
And his wife doesn't even know he's doing a TV show, right?
Well, I think our internal logic is that she sees the camera, cameras, and she knows that there's a show about a reviewer, but he had, for the purposes of his experiment and the purity of his concept and what he's doing, he can't tell her that he's reviewing life experiences or what those experiences are, because that would change the experience.
Sure. You know? Yeah. Well, the show is awesome. We have much more to discuss with our guest Andy Daly here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but don't forget, tonight at 10 on Comedy Central, watch the show. It's called Review, and we'll be right back here on K-Rock. Comedian, actor Andy Daly in studio with us now. Very few guests come in and try to work the newsboy cap. I got to tell you, that's a
good look.
It's a good look, and I think Andy pulls it off.
He does.
Well, I am also selling newspapers on the street corner. Okay. That's the thing you don't
Which
know,
is a great business in 2014. Andy stars in a new show that we cannot recommend enough. It's called Review, and it airs tonight at 10 on Comedy Central. Comedy Central, by the way, is just on a tear right now with the Kroll Show, with Key and Peele, with the Nathan, Amy's show, Broad City, which is one of my favorite shows on TV right now. We always hesitate to say anything is a golden age, and sometimes you can't tell when you're in the middle of it, but I do feel like there's so many funny people on TV right now.
I'll tell you the magic ingredient that people may not know. The guy who directed Semi-Pro and cast me in that is this guy by the name of Kent Alterman, who is now in charge over at Comedy Central, and he's a super smart, funny guy with great taste who's out there finding great shows and sticking with them.
Except for Ben Hoffman. That broke our heart that he showed up canceled, because we loved Ben's show as
well. Yeah, that was a funny show, yeah.
But, I mean, these are all shows that are also different from each other and all have such kind of a wacky, different sense of humor. They're not mainstream shows, and that's what makes them great, I think.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true, I would say, of Review. It's an odd bird. It's a strange show.
But your friend Greg Fitzsimmons is coming up later on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, yeah.
You've known him for how long?
I've known Greg. We were both doing stand-up together in New York in 1993, I think, is when I first met Greg. Yeah.
And you guys ran with a crowd of now comedy all-stars, but at the time, you guys were all just trying to get started, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, I started out at the Upright Citizens Brigade, when they came into New York in 96, and with guys like Paul Scheer and Rob Riggle and Rob Hubel and Rob Corddry. It was mostly Rob's.
There's a lot of Rob's.
It was kind of a Rob Farm team, and great funny guys.
Amy Poehler, too?
Amy Poehler, Amy Poehler was one of the original four members of the Upright Citizens Brigade that came to New York from Chicago, and she taught an improv class, and I signed up for her right away, and that was the first class they ever taught in New York. Now it's like a massive school in New York and Los Angeles with so many classes. She taught the first class.
Do you teach? Have you ever taught?
I have taught some improv, yeah, absolutely.
That's impressive. I'm always impressed by people that can think on their feet that quickly, as I cannot.
Yeah. Well, you're literally on your feet. I see you thinking. It's happening. It's fun.
Did you have any sense, you guys all were into comedy, I assume for the love of it, but did you have any sense that so many of you would go on to be able to make careers out of it? I mean, that's a pretty success. That's a lot of successes out of a small group of students.
Yeah, I think I probably did. I don't think I imagined the possibility of failure, which is kind of a fun thing.
Really?
To think about as a 22-year-old, like we're all headed straight for the stars. I think I probably did imagine that someday we would all be sitting in Hollywood looking back on our early New York days.
Yeah. Reminiscing about the good old days before you made it big.
Right. I've always had delusions of grandeur.
Sure.
So,
did you ever have a bad year that you thought, maybe it's not going to work out, maybe I'm not going to make it?
Oh, I had a lot of those. Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, of course. I've had bad years and worries. I had a couple of years there here in Los Angeles where I made my living by being in the background of commercials.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How much does that pay? What's the scale for that?
Well, the funniest thing that ever happened to me is that I was in a Coke commercial with, I think, Penelope Cruz or something
Sweet.
Like that. Yeah, but I was sitting at a table and they cut me. They told me to go. They were like, we're never going to see this table. You can go home. I'm literally not in it. And I made $20,000 that year from that commercial.
What?
Wow. That was a treat. And
they were paying to keep you off of it.
I know. And my sense of ethics, I wanted to call them and say, I'm not in it. I don't deserve this money. But so I forgot. I didn't know who to call. I didn't have the number.
All right, sure.
You've been on a semi-regular on a couple of shows, like we mentioned, Eastbound and Down, for instance. But have you ever gone out for a regular, like on a network sitcom?
I have, yeah. You know, actually, one of the first auditions I ever had in New York, they were casting a wide net for the show Friends. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah. I've not.
It was on NBC.
That was the show that was on before Joey, right?
I think that might have been right.
Okay.
It was the little-known prequel to Joey. Yeah, the prequel
okay.
to Joey. Yeah, and I think I probably auditioned for Matthew Perry's role. I don't know. But yeah, I've done a lot of the auditioning for. But the strange thing is, a lot of the pilots that I've auditioned for, then you never see them. You know what I mean? So Friends was an example. an exception to that.
A bit of a standout.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just wonder, I mean, let's say you were going to be Chandler. I just wonder what that's like to be up for Chandler, and then you automatically think whoever they cast, if they don't cast you, sucks. There's no way around that. And you must have just for 12 years or however long that show was on the air, every time you turn on the TV and Friends is on, you have to be, you know, death ray stares at Chandler, at Matthew Perry.
Or did you think they made the right call?
Well, I don't know if I had, but I didn't watch it. And here's why. Because, because whether I thought it was right or wrong, you can't help but sit there and go, well, how would I have said that line?
Yeah.
And that's not a fun way to spend a half an hour. That's
could you have said that's the worse. Line any better?
Yeah, right. What would I have done with it?
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. Andy, review. We mentioned the divorce one. Any others that you've already shot that you're excited about for people to see of things that your character reviews?
Well, tonight, you know, the racism segment that's on tonight is one that they sort of leaked onto the internet. And people you can actually get a preview of it now at ComedyCentral.com. And the feedback for that has been huge because it takes an interesting turn. It's almost Twilight Zone-esque in a way.
Twilight Zone-esque.
Believe it or not. Yeah. And it's super funny. And people are excited about it. And Hunting tonight. I've had the pleasure of watching our Hunting segment, which is on tonight, with an audience a couple of times. And,
is that a scary proposition? You make sure they're laughing at the right points and not the wrong points?
Yeah,
that?
That's right. Watching it with an audience at first is a little scary, but I've screened this episode a few times now, and particularly Hunting is a wonderful... I would recommend getting a group of people together to watch that one.
All right.
It's exciting.
The show is really, really funny, you guys. I know that it's... Look, I feel like I'm a guy who likes to be in touch and stay current. It's almost impossible to keep up with all the new shows as fast as they're being thrown at you right now. It seems like every night there's something else new that's debuting, but every once in a while one sticks out that we definitely have to call your attention to that you should totally check out, and this is the one. It is called Review. Thursday nights, that means tonight on Comedy Central. Andy, so great to have you by, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
April Foolishness 2014 is fast approaching. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon for the show that's going to be at the Shrine Auditorium on Saturday, April the 5th. So excited to see our friend Jim Jefferies again. Patton Oswalt, Mr. Carolla will be there. Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Ift, and Taylor Williamson. And music by our friend DJ Mike Realm. Tickets again go on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds go to benefit the Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. By the way, we haven't talked much about it, but when you go to Kerrek.com, definitely take a look at the special upfront section, which we call the party bus section. No party bus included in that, but lots of other good perks, including getting there early and meet and greet and t-shirt and parking and all that good stuff.
So party bus section, no party bus.
No party bus, okay, exactly, right. Yes.
Just to make it clear.
I am, of course, fascinated with this story as an animal lover. A real-life Dr. Doolittle in the news, Kevin.
Scientist claims he can, quote, talk to animals and says he will reveal his secret at a conference next week.
How many times we're all dog owners on this show, every single one of us. How many times have you said to yourself or even said out loud, why can't you just talk? You know your dog's tried to tell you something. You can't figure out what it is. If you could just figure out a way to translate whatever they're saying or looking or doing into English, then you would know what the hell's going on with your pet.
I got to be honest. I've never yelled at my pet, why can't you talk?
Really?
I've kind of accepted that.
Well, Dr. Ian Duncan he's the Emeritus Chair in Animal Welfare at the University of Guelph in Canada. He's a Scotsman, though. We don't know too much about his method. But he has figured out a way to communicate with animals. As Kevin said, he'll unveil it next week at a conference in Washington, D.C. But we wanted to get a little bit of a peek as to what's going on with the good doctor, and we have Dr. Duncan on the phone with us right now. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good.
That's great.
Well, this is very, very exciting news, this article in the Belfast Telegraph about your research.
Yes, it is. It's quite exciting. It's amazing what you can learn from animals if you just talk to them.
Well, most people talk to their animals, but their animals don't talk back.
Ah, yeah, you're wrong.
I'm wrong. Okay. Oh, you're wrong.
They are talking back to us. You just have to know how to listen.
I see.
So if you're asking the right questions, then an animal will tell you what he's feeling and how to change his life for the better.
Now, that's kind of the research that you've been doing is you're getting feedback from animals on how they feel about their life and about their care and their food and things like that, right?
Ach, yes. You can ask any wee animal have a feeling what they need. And if you know what to listen for, they'll tell you. It's amazing the things you can learn from animals. We've all thought, oh, they're just dumb animals working on instincts or on, you know, on training. But no, they have rich lives and they have things to tell us.
Huh. Like what?
Well, I've got some animals here. Let's ask them some questions.
All right.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
How are you doing today? Oh, I see. Yeah, I agree with you.
What did he say?
He said he thinks Lena Dunham gets too naked on girls.
You got all of that just from that bark?
Yeah. Oh, she's a beast. Why is she only taking her clothes off on that show?
I don't know.
I told her we want to see that.
Why does that bother your dog?
Oh, it's because he's got eyes, doesn't he? And his sense of smell is much better than ours.
I see, okay.
You can actually smell her through the television.
Oh, come on.
Oh, she's disgusting. For God's sakes, all the actresses on HBO, they can show us naked and it's hard.
Yeah.
Oh.
I hear you.
Oh,
I
would not have lose his breakfast.
Not have expected that, Alard. Who else is there with you, Dr. Duncan?
Well, let's find out. Oh, yes, I agree. All cats are assholes.
Oh, is that what they said?
Oh. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Even cats know they're assholes. Anyone who owns a cat's an asshole, too, by the way. In case any of you happen to be cat owners.
Is that scientific?
Cats blow.
It just sounds like you're projecting maybe your own opinion there.
Who's
a little bit, doctor?
Doctor here?
You are the doctor. That's
right.
True.
You're not. I've got secrets. I took to animals.
Okay.
Who
yes, you did.
To? That dummy on the other side of the room from you.
How dare you?
All right. Let's see what this guy has to say. Yeah, absolutely. That's a cock.
Right.
Rooster, right.
Yeah, that's another word for rooster.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. He says, hey, what the hell? Why are you calling me that name? And I keep telling you it's another name for rooster. Listen, you dumb rooster, that's a name for you. It's not an insult. Yeah, oh. You're right. Bean is an ass.
What?
Hey, wait a minute.
You have a horse telling you that?
Yeah. He knew. He could just listen through the phone.
Wow.
Yeah. Horses are very wise.
How does a horse have a phone that he can listen to?
No, I've got a phone.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He's listening through the phone.
I got you.
He's got excellent hearing.
Okay. Oh.
No, I do not think Kanye West is a creative genius. That's ridiculous. Can't even spell it. Elephants have a great memory, but they're dumb.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Duncan. There's so much more going on with these animals than we ever could have imagined just looking at them.
They're very aware of what's going on around them. It really affects them.
Wow. Sounds like... What is that?
That's an excellent question. I should ask that animal. What are you?
What do you guys think that is?
He's a shortwave radio animal.
I didn't know those existed. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
So very excited about the Veronica Mars movie that's going to be in theaters and on demand tomorrow. We're going to catch up with Logan and Dick themselves, actors Jason Doring and Ryan Hansen, coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Veronica Mars, Ralph!
I know!
Veronica Mars!
Just today, they launched the Kickstarter for the sequel.
Is that right?
No, I'm kidding.
Is that true?
No, it's not true.
I would be surprised. Hey, if we get some big box office this weekend, who knows? Maybe they will make another one. We'll see.
Why not? Make a series. Make a franchise.
Sure. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
I am worried about our listeners.
Uh-oh, why?
A young lady called in, wanted to talk to Dr. Duncan, ask her questions about her pet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on the phone from Canada, you guys.
I know. You couldn't have talked to him.
That's weird.
Maybe she wanted to put her her pet on the phone, and maybe Dr. Duncan could ask him some questions.
I would be willing to bet $1,000 we would have people in our audience that believe they can talk to animals. You know that's the case.
One of them lives on an island.
Hey! I can see you.
The other one's in this room with us.
In a clown house.
Hey.
The other one talks about sig alerts a lot.
Not to give anything away.
Ronnie talks to me.
Maybe the next time Dr. Duncan finds himself in Southern California, we should have him in, invite our listeners to call in and put their animals on the phone.
I love it.
That might be fun.
Forbes magazine, or as I like to call them now, Forbes Business of Middle East Making, has released yet another list. It used to be a magazine about finance.
Sure.
Now they just crank out these lists. This is who's the most overexposed celebrity for 2014?
Overexposed
celebrity.
Oh, okay.
Justin
That's interesting.
Bieber.
This is a dubious title that nobody really wants. You know, you want to be just, you want the right amount of exposure. You want enough to sell your wares, whatever it is that you're hawking out there, but you don't want to bore the world with What's your the, presence.
You want people to know who you are, to like you, and to be eager to see what you'll do next.
What's the time frame?
2014.
2014. Right.
This year.
All right.
So right,
I'm with,
now. Right now.
I'm with Kevin. It's got to be Bieber.
Let's take a look at the top 10. Khloe Kardashian got 49% of the vote.
Okay.
Kourtney Kardashian.
I sense a theme.
50%.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out how this could work if this is a percentage of the vote.
Well, I don't think they split.
Maybe you could vote for more than one person.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps how it worked. Paris Hilton was eighth.
Paris Hilton?
I didn't think she was exposed at all anymore.
No.
You never hear about her. I know she's doing her DJ thing, but it just seems like once in a while you'll see some blurb.
Yeah. That's strange.
People are just chapped-assed for the past 10 years. They're just they're so full of her, they're still hating on her. Snooki.
Okay.
Again, somebody you hear less about now than ever.
But when she had her kid and everything, that was sort of high profile. She was on the cover of a lot of magazines.
Yeah.
Kris Jenner, sixth.
How is she not one?
People just had an ass full of Kris Jenner. Yeah. Enough. Honey Boo Boo was fifth on the list. Yeah, I don't need to hear any more of them ever.
I think America's over its fascination with that family.
Miley Cyrus, fourth on the list. Enough.
Yeah.
Can see that.
I can see that.
Put your tongue away and just disappear for a while.
I'm not tired of Miley yet, but I can understand why somebody would be.
How could you not be tired of her in the middle of her performance at the MTV Awards?
Just a fan, I guess.
Don't. I asked you not to ask him.
You're right.
I told you, don't ask
him. Lady Lohan! 59%, third on the list.
Wow. Again, somebody who's been pretty low profile until her show just started this week.
Kim Kardashian, second on the list with 61% of the people asked said she was overexposed. And number one, you guessed it, Justin Bieber.
Bill Bixby.
Not Bill Bixby, no.
That's a good guess.
Bill was 11th on the list.
Oh, darn it.
People so tired of talking about the Incredible Hulk and My Favorite Martian. Justin Bieber, 75% of the people asked said that he was... way overexposed. Too much.
Does he?
Too much Bieber. When asked if he thought he was overexposed, Bieber said, "Guess what? I can't recall."
Nice.
And then someone punched him.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
He does have a wooden hand. That's correct, yeah.
Why was I so excited about that? Even if I was correct, that was...
thought it was hilarious.
Excitement level seems out
Kevin's
of whack.
Kevin's like, ooh, I got one. Ooh, ooh.
Seems out of whack.
Celebrity sex tapes.
Yes.
The list is lengthy. Many of the people on that previous list, Paris Hilton, Tommy Lee, Pamela Anderson, of course, Farrah Abraham, the backdoor teen mom, Kim Kardashian, of course, built a career around it. But, and just recently, we were talking about last week, the Johnny Carson sex tape being shopped around to private collectors because they couldn't sell it to a Vivid or one of these major outlets because of the legal ramifications. But how about this one? If you believe RadarOnline.com, recently discovered an 8mm reel of film that the owners claim show a three-way between Marilyn Monroe, John F. Kennedy,
nope,
and his brother Robert.
Yay! No way!
That would be historic.
That's the king of all sex tapes.
It would be the
right
king
there.
Of all sex tapes.
But this is America. I want it now.
You had JFK, Marilyn Monroe, and Bobby.
No!
Making the wobbly H?
tell us more.
Making the Chinese finger cuffs? This apparently exists. And reportedly, the marketing geniuses over at AshleyMadison.com are gunning to buy the footage. The owner of the website, which of course is it's for adulterers. You're supposed to cheat on your husband or wife with someone else on AshleyMadison.com, has offered $1 million to the supposed owner of this 8mm film. Says that he wants to celebrate America's royal family and acknowledge their actions were neither shameful nor embarrassing. That's why we want to shame and embarrass them by putting them on our website.
Weren't they shameful and embarrassing to the wives of those Kennedy men, though?
I'm guessing it would be, but I don't believe they're around any longer to be shamed or embarrassed. So bring it on! I'm stunned and shocked if that's a thing.
You would have to watch that.
Hell to the yeah.
I think you'd have to watch any one of those three in a sex tape, sure. Much less altogether.
Yeah, especially Marilyn. I want to see that. Give me a little piece of that. You know what I'm saying?
You're making me horny.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Marilyn, could you move to the right a little bit, please? Yeah, you're blocking my view of Bobby's penis. Ask not what your whore can do for you, but what you can do to your whore.
A little piece of the soundtrack.
Wow, I didn't realize.
Yeah, it's sound. It's odd.
That's cool.
Who'd have expected it? Today's celebrity birthdays are written down on a piece of paper that is probably somewhere in this pile. Here we go.
Birthday. It's my candle blowing birthday.
You think that guy's over drumming that song?
No, not enough drums for my taste.
Okay.
That is actually the song that Marilyn Monroe sang to President Kennedy on his birthday in that famous performance.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
William H. Macy, actor, legend, God. I can't think of many people I like better than William H. Macy, both on screen and off.
He's never been bad in anything.
Do you remember when he came in here? He came into to our show years ago. I think it was for The Cooler, perhaps, for that film, The Cooler, which I loved, by the way. What a just a great guy. An interesting little side note about James H. Macy. He never lies.
What?
He hasn't told a lie in the last 25 years.
How does he not answer?
He either answers with absolute truth or doesn't answer at all.
Huh.
But he says he has, it's been a personal project of his. He has never lied in years.
Are we sure that that's not a lie?
Oh, good point. How would we know?
Right there.
Yeah. 64 years old today. I can't imagine getting through an hour without a good couple juicy lies.
That's true.
Let alone being absolutely honest at all times.
Let's all try it for a day.
He says it makes him make better decisions because he can't do anything that he would lie about because he doesn't lie, so he can't cover anything up.
Okay.
And it says it makes him more thoughtful in deed and in word by not allowing himself the luxury of lies, not even white ones.
That's fascinating.
I'm curious. People who never lie.
It is fascinating because what about just the little white, like you say, the harmless lies that you don't, you know, the things you don't say so as to not hurt somebody's feelings? What about those?
He believes no lies are harmless.
You know, did you enjoy the meal? You know, that sort of thing.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah, that wouldn't be hard in a marriage.
You know, maybe he would pick. Yeah, it would be hard in a marriage. No kidding. Maybe he could pick one thing that he liked out of the meal or something and just say that.
Yeah. Oh, boy, the Brussels sprouts were excellent.
But what about the rest of it? The Brussels sprouts were excellent.
Really? My favorite part was the Brussels sprouts.
What you don't want is, how is that for you, honey? That's what you don't want. Now you're in trouble.
That's Bean's biggest lie. Biggest worry, rather, is a woman telling him actually how he was in bed. Lie to me! Lie to me! Dana Delaney's 58 years old today. Interestingly enough, she lies constantly.
Does she?
Never tells the truth. Hmm. Adam Clayton of U2 is 54. Annabeth Gish celebrates her 43rd birthday. You guys were just talking about her. She was on The Bridge, right?
Yes.
She's one of the stars of The Bridge.
Is that coming back?
It is. It's coming back.
Yeah. Great show.
That is a great show.
Rapper Common, he is 42 years old today. Danny Masterson's 38. Emil Hirsch celebrates his 29th birthday today. What a great actor he is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
This is exciting. I am geeking out a little bit. The Veronica Mars movie we've heard so much about finally arrives tomorrow in theaters and on demand, and we could not be more excited to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Studios Logan Eccles, actor Jason Doering, and Dick Casablancas himself, Ryan Hansen, both here on the Kevin and Bean Studios K-Rock right now.
Yeah.
Hi, boys.
Hey there.
How you doing?
What a dream come true for us as fans, but I can't imagine what this roller coaster ride has been like for you guys, you know, thinking the show was in your past and what's next, and then all of a sudden kind of having it resurrected, and now you're back.
Yeah, man, we thought we were sort of off the air for good, you know, back in 2007. We sort of, our creator, Rob Thomas, had, you know, been told to sort of wrap it up, you know, because we were probably not coming back for a fourth season, tie everything together, and he did the exact opposite. He left everything open. And sort of that was sort of our blessing in disguise because we you know, even 7 years later, had this amazing fan support that was able to generate this sort of new Hollywood sort of model for making films.
Yeah, totally. And let's talk about those fans. I mean, did you guys get the feeling in the years that the show was on the air that you had just a rabid cult fan base out there? Were they always very, very active with you?
We always had, you know, a lot of... We thought there was a lot of fans out there, but we weren't sure if, you know, when the show was dead, if like it was the same 20 fans emailing us being like, hey, we want a movie or something. But now, you know, since the Kickstarter, we realize it's more than the 20 fans.
Tell us about the Kickstarter, because once that began, it just took off like crazy.
Yeah.
What was for you guys at the beginning?
Well, Rob had tried every conventional means to make the movie going through the studio, and we even shot this little our little Kickstarter video that was shelved for a year, and then it sort of went viral through the halls of Warner Brothers, and you know the studio execs were like, wow, maybe this is something we should do.
Let me just stop you right there. Why is it so hard to get a movie made for a TV show that was a hit for like 7 years?
Because we were canceled, bro. No, we were off for 7 years. We were on for 3 years. It was canceled, and then for 7 years later, we sort of...
Oh, I see.
Almost built it up on DVDs and stuff like that, and now there's even probably more fans ever than there were.
And someone in Warner Brothers saw our little Kickstarter video and was like, wait, why aren't we doing this? So like, we got to release it,
wow,
the video, and then, you know, it really could have gone either way, and the fans just came through big time. It was amazing.
Yeah, they raised $5.7 million. Was that the number it ended up being that you got Kickstarted?
Yeah, that's right, man.
That wasn't your goal. What was your goal?
No, our goal was $2 million, and we wanted to raise that in 30 days, and by the end of 24 hours, we had 2.2. And
24 hours.
Ryan's been living large ever since.
I guess we all went out and got Range Rovers.
Now, how many – refresh my memory, because it's been over a year since the Kickstarter. Weren't there a whole bunch of incentives that involved either things that you had to do or work that you had to do or things that you had to sign or something
sure.
like that?
Yeah, Ryan's still sleeping with all our fans.
That's right. I got a couple hundred to go. No, yeah, you could be an extra in the film. You could do that. You could come to one of the premieres. We had multiple premieres that you could buy and go to that.
Yeah, our top prize was a $10,000 prize, and the guy got a line in the movie, and we had to be on his face. We couldn't cut him out or anything like that. Yeah, so he was really cool. We got to meet him.
He introduced himself as Steve, the 10K.
Very, nice.
Very sweet, yeah.
That's the way to do
How was he? Did he deliver?
Yeah, he was great. I mean, you notice him. He actually is from Canada, so he couldn't work here. So he had to shoot his stuff, you know, up in Canada and then send it to us on a screen and we put it in the movie.
His line ended up
Are
being...
Are you serious?
Yeah, his line ended up being, let's get weird. So when you see that in the movie, that's Steve the 10K.
You had a bunch of premieres, but last night was the big Hollywood premiere, right?
Yeah, and this is where we're sort of from. You know, obviously we grew up with your show and Ryan was a huge fan.
Big fan. Lisa May, you're gorgeous. Ding it. Come on, someone ding that.
Ding. Yeah. The hell out of that bell.
Yeah.
So it was cool. It like last night? Tell me about the premiere last night.
Yeah, I mean, we were just at the Chinese Theater, which is just huge, you know, and Ryan dumped a bag of cement, put his own handprints down.
Sure.
That's a good way to do it.
No one asked. You just did it.
Just go ahead and do it. Mix it up right there.
That's right.
It was amazing. There was tons of fans on the streets, and the theater was packed. It was really surreal to be like, you know, this was a dead TV show, and now we're at the Chinese Theater doing it. It's amazing.
Yeah, that was one of our prizes for fans too, is they could come to our premiere. So it was just packed with people who wanted to see the movie. So it was just the best audience you could probably have.
Look, there are so many talented people involved in the Veronica Mars TV show and now movie, obviously starting with Rob Thomas and all the great actors that are on the show, but the heart and soul of it is Kristen Bell. We're all so in love with her on this show, and I can't even imagine what it's like for you guys to be, you know, to be friends with her. Yeah. How do you not like crush on her from day one shooting Veronica Mars?
Yeah, we do, man. That's how I made all my money, man.
Gross.
Yeah. No, Ryan actually
kind of a bitch, really.
Yeah, she's just amazing, man. I just kind of look in her eyes, and you know, she kind of smiles at me, and my whole life sort of changes, and then I just kind of go with that, you know.
Did you take a lot of heat, Jason, because Logan was such a dick for so long on that show to Kristen's character? Did you hear that from the fans?
Yeah, you know, he was always like this one-dimensional sort of, you know, they called him the obligatory psychotic jackass is sort of how he's described.
Nice,
he was always intended to be like this one-note character. And around episode 8, they said, you guys are going to get together. And we were like, are you crazy? Like, there's no way. And they're like, you better start warming up, man. You're going to be kissing her in 3 episodes. And we just went off the rails, man. It was so fun. Doing this beautiful love story in the middle of this whole, you know, you know, immoral character, and then to play this love story and kind of get back on the rails and then off again was so great as an actor.
And then I took over as the one note character.
Yeah, he was. Good. Yeah, he was. Good. He was my sidekick.
Was that written that way or no? Cool. Just you decided to play it that way.
That was just the Ryan's acting.
So that's kind of all I have. Yeah, thank you, Pete.
Now Ryan was a local hire in San Diego, and he had one word, and he said,
Logan.
That was it. And then he became a series regular that in season two.
Yep. I was an extra.
They liked that word so much.
No, they like my hair.
Okay.
Jason Doering and Ryan Hansen are here from the Veronica Mars movie, which again is available in theaters and on demand everywhere. By the way, we're going to take a break, but I just have to say this because like so many other fans, it's been a while since I've seen the show. So I went to one of these catch-up videos on the internet that kind of walks you through all the plot developments leading up to the start
badly.
Of the movie. It's unbelievable how dark that show was when you look at it in a supercut like that. How many overdoses there were and suicides and rapes and murders. Damn, I thought it was a fun show. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's very different than your regular teenage show. I mean, we deal with real things. You know, I mean, she's goes through an assault, and that's what she's trying to figure out in the first season. You know, and. We dealt with a lot of issues, just social issues everywhere. And then, Ryan throwing jokes here and there to lighten things up.
How many times was Logan arrested for murder during the course of the series?
I'm still counting, bro. And this movie's still coming out.
It keeps happening.
Got it, yeah.
All right. We'll talk much more of Veronica Mars when we return right after this on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Talking about the Veronica Mars movie, available in theaters and on demand tomorrow. Actors Jason Doering and Ryan Hansen in studio with us here on the show right now. That's Logan and Dick to you and me. And I think we actually have a clip. Is this from the movie, Kevin? Has both the guys in it, I think.
That's correct, yes.
What's this? I specifically told the agency an eager to please brunette.
Oh. Dick.
Hey, Logan, that girl who follows you around is here.
Was there anyone that you had to talk into being in the movie? Somebody who didn't want to come back and be on Veronica Mars?
Kristen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kristen Bell.
I don't believe that for a second. She's always been talking about it since the day the show got canceled.
I know. She's the biggest supporter and fan of the show and of all of us and the cast and Rob's writing. So she was on board right away.
Yeah, we had a couple people that even wanted to be in the movie. You know, James Franco.
Had, oh, wow.
Yeah, Ira Glass is in it. So we got some cool
people. He's in
cool
it?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Really?
That's
These
awesome.
Are a couple of our little – hopefully we didn't spoil it for anybody.
That's but, a Hollywood yeah, treasure, Jerry O'Connell as well, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
Jerry's
yeah,
the best. Jerry. Love Jerry.
People are going to be asking, they're hearing so much about Veronica Mars. Maybe they didn't watch the show back in the day, have not caught up. What is it going to be the type of thing that somebody can go in cold and just watch it from scratch and enjoy?
You know, we tested it like, I think it was like 83 or 86% of people who had never seen the show put it in either excellent or very good in the category when we did it, which
Fantastic.
Is pretty amazing. So if we end up with an 8.5 with people who have never seen the show, I think that's pretty good. And then, for the people who have seen the show, we tested about 96 or something crazy.
They do like a nice recap at the very beginning, and you totally get the world. You
get caught up, whether you watched it or not.
Definitely.
I saw one of the reviewers said, don't see it this weekend. Go back and rent and watch all three seasons.
Yeah, that'd probably
and
be
I was
good.
Like, it'd be good, but... This is a movie. It opens.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of homework.
Yeah, they're kind of counting on your money here, so go see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think you can. I think people will watch the movie this weekend, and then go back and watch it, and then go watch the movie again.
Right,
and then watch the series, and then again,
and then the series will come.
That's right. That's right.
I want to hear what you guys, what your impressions are of your own characters. Like Jason, what do you think about Logan?
He's sort of the bad boy, the irredeemable boy, with a heart of gold. It's such a cliche, but I think sort of that's the guy. But if I could be any character, it would be Ryan Hansen, and this is his character.
Yeah, I play Dick, and Dick is just a lovable douchebag. That's what he is. He's just a giant
lovable douchebag.
Dick, yeah.
I like it.
Dick.
You told producer Dave before you came in, Ryan, and I didn't realize this, that you worked with Kristen on House of Lies also.
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh.
On a very special day, if I understand correctly.
Sure. So she got her and Dax went to the courthouse and got married, and my wife was the one witness for them.
Okay.
And she told my wife right when they got married, right after that, she's like, okay, I'm going to go have simulated sex with your husband now on House of Lies. And so she went, and we shot out in like Calabas or something, and... pounded each other.
So weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. Very weird.
It's weird when the two worlds collide that closely.
I know.
It's bizarre.
Kind of fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. We got Dr. Drew standing by in the wings. He's coming up next. You got any sores or anything you need us to ask him about for you? You guys cool?
Mine aren't flared up right now.
So, okay. So you're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Anything else you want to say? Not that you need to sell the movie, because Veronica Mars fans have been waiting for this for a long, long time, waiting for this particular weekend. But anything else you want to tell us about the film before people go?
Yeah, I mean, just on a serious note, we're so excited, you know, for our fans. And this is probably the one project that Ryan and I would want to be a great project, because it was funded by the fans and it wasn't just free studio money. So, you know, we probably
feel like a little bit more like you owe them.
Yeah, sure. We weren't really smart enough to feel the pressure at the beginning of the movie and when we were making it. But it was sort of after we were like, oh, man, we hope we made a good movie.
how did you guys do it so fast, by the way? I mean, it's a miracle to go from being announced to being in theaters in a year.
Yeah, man. We shot 28 locations in 23 days. And
wow.
Was it all written before you started the funding?
The idea for the story was written. Rob had it all in his head.
Yeah.
We actually
shot
this little Kickstarter video about a year before we released it. So it was kind
of, wow.
The
okay.
idea was there for sure.
Let me ask you one more thing to you, Ryan, and that is, now that the Veronica Mars movie is made, is everyone on the street going to ask you for a Party Down movie?
Yes,
is that
got
to be next?
Yeah, that's right. So hopefully with the momentum of this and stuff, we'll get to do Party Down, because I want to do that so bad. It is so fun. Oh, my, it's the best show. Second best show.
That's great news.
Oh, my God. Veronica
well,
Mars.
We'll be the best show later.
Right.
Yeah, Veronica Mars for tomorrow.
That's right.
We were super excited that you guys were available to come in. It's so great to meet you, and just to tell you what huge fans we are of the show, and you guys are so good on it. We're so excited about the movie, and seriously, nothing but the best. Come back anytime, sir. All right?
Thank you,
right,
guys, cool. So, thank much. You so much. Fire beer mug.
So, Jim, how are you feeling? Dr. Pinsky told me that you are having some issues.
Dr. Pinsky.
Oh, that's Dr. Drew's real name.
Why wouldn't he just call himself Dr. Drew?
Drew's short for Andrew.
Yeah, but Dr. Pinsky's a good name. Is Drew so snappy that he... What, he got an ego on him, does he? He like to be called after his first name? Does he think he's Madonna or Cher?
Do you want to spend the whole session talking about Dr. Drew?
There you go. Even you call him Dr. Drew.
When is he going to leave HLN and just go into acting full-time and be the Hollywood heartthrob that we've always known him to be? Hi, Andrew.
That's the only part he got wrong, but frankly, Jim Jeffries can say anything he wants. My friend Jim,
yep.
Just uttering my name is such an honor, I've got to tell you.
He's the best.
I kept wondering if he really is addicted to sex, because that was so realistic, that scene that they shot in the Loveline Studios for Legit. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a sex addict.
Well, Jim bases that Legit show very much,
yep.
Not even loosely, but very much on his life. Very much. Like the stuff where he, remember that the last season where he stuffs the woman, in fact, that's referenced in our episode, where he stuffs the woman in the back of a car in the trunk.
Right.
That's
that,
right.
That happened.
Yeah. You watch that show Legit and you go, no way did that happen to anybody. And most of the time it did with Jim Jeffries.
And you know, by the, I could gush all day about them. I've gotten to know Dave Beckendahl, the guy that plays the sort of balding
right, Steve, right,
and the DJ Qualls. You guys love him, right?
Yep,
I mean,
yep.
Just such a great cast. And Ginger, the girl that plays his girlfriend, the dark hair,
uh-huh.
Brilliant actress, brilliant woman. I mean, it's just a great cast. And of course, I'm blanking on his name. The guy that used to play Cliff in Cheers, John
Ratzenberger. Yeah.
I mean, my God, it's a great show. And Jim,
it's a great cast.
Well, so.
By the way, Larry King, who for all those years had a show on CNN, used to always appear on TV shows and movies all the time. Is that the direction that you're headed? You want to be that guy?
Yeah, I want to be Larry King.
Well, Dr. Drew joins us when he's not busy making TV. He joins us on the radio every Thursday to talk about things in the news. And this is one that I know that you have been following, Doctor, because we really thought that these e-cigarettes were going to be the answer for a lot of people to get them to be able to satisfy their cravings and not smoke in people's faces. Los Angeles, Long Beach, other areas in Southern California, not seeing it that way. They're basically treating e-cigarettes as cigarettes. What's going on?
I don't know, Bean. It makes me a little bit crazy. The first thing you said was that it was going to be the answer for people addicted to tobacco, is that it does seem to be effective for people addicted to tobacco. And the unfortunate, my concern is that people, and by people I mean legislators and people who are concerned with bumming everyone's high, are confusing addiction to tobacco with addiction to nicotine. I intentionally addict people to nicotine sometimes to get them off tobacco, which is what's killing them. The fact is there are nicotine replacement systems out there, like gum and lozenges and sprays, that if people get addicted to, I am delighted, because I was just reading an article about
I feel like I need to become addicted to that then.
Well, if we can lose some weight, yeah. And God forbid, it's so funny. I was reading some of the articles on e-cigarettes before we got on the air here. And the one thing they were saying was, you could get addicted to nicotine. And everyone knows nicotine can raise your heart rate. It's like, and that's right. That's about all nicotine is going to do to you. Nicotine is highly addictive and essentially harmless.
It won't kill you of lung cancer. We know that.
No, it's the tobacco. It's tobacco. It's the nicotine in tobacco that addicts you, but the nicotine itself is relatively harmless. It's in the tobacco smoke that is killing people. And now they're translating that nicotine addiction to e-cigarettes, which seem to be. And by the way, the jury is out. I'll admit that we don't have conclusive evidence. And by the way, everyone's looking at e-cigarettes going, we don't have yet evidence that lifelong use of e-cigarettes is safe. And I thought, oh, great. So we're going to have to wait an entire life.
We have to wait 80 years.
A lifespan before we can say e-cigarettes are okay. They have phenols and things in them that are of concern. But they're at low levels, and they're not nearly. I mean, everyone agrees on this. They're not nearly of the concern of tobacco. And so, okay, let's tamper the enthusiasm. And okay, let's be careful because teenagers are getting their hands on this. As they do on just about everything.
Right.
But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
So when the Los Angeles City Council votes, as they did, 14-0 to outlaw what's called vaping, which is to use the e-cigarettes in public. So they're saying you can't use them in public places, in parks and beaches and places like that. They're saying that they're doing that to protect the health of people who might be nearby, just as if we were talking about real smoking.
Exactly. And by the way, I mean...
Don't get us started on secondhand smoke.
That's right. I mean, Adam and I have been going off on that for years. I mean, I'm all for protecting people. And yes, if you sat in a room with a smoker your entire life, that's going to be bad. But on the beach?
Yeah.
To me, it's just overreach, again, of a nanny state. So here we go. Even our local governments are crawling up our tushes.
Are these people good people that are just trying to help and that they really don't understand?
Well, they're trying to help. Of course they're looking out for the well-being of the populace. That's, of course, their intention. But I think this, to me, I guess the reason it upsets me so much is that it falls into this category of moralizing about addiction. And if something becomes a habit because it's biologically addicting, it's inherently, therefore, bad.
Right.
And I'm saying that, no, there are complex relationships of the human to chemicals. And let's evaluate each one independently. Let's not just say because something is addictive, therefore it makes people bad, and only bad people use them, and we've got to protect people from it. If we really applied that logic, it's a lot of medication we'd have to get rid of, too.
Right. Dr. Drew, I've never really been around an e-cigarette. What is the sensation like for the person sitting next to you at the restaurant? It's not like having a cloud of smoke from a cigarette or a cigar coming through you. What's it feel or smell like?
Engineer Anderson at Loveline has been smoking these things for years, and I've sat next to him for years. And although it's a little bit... The biggest sensation is, why is that guy putting that pen in his mouth?
Why is there a light at the end of this?
It's a little uncomfortably, sort of scares me. That, but the actual vapor doesn't seem to get anywhere near. And as I said, I've sat in that room for, he's probably been 3 years with these things. No way is it like a cigarette smoke.
So you don't walk out of Loveline every night smelling like this guy?
Well, it's on my clothes a little bit. My wife wonders who I've been standing. No, it's nothing. It's zero. I don't smell it, and it doesn't get on my clothing. It's very different. Now, I suppose if I, made an effort to go over there and I am a scientist, and so the science needs to be completed. I get that. But please, everybody, nicotine, it's addictive. Good. That's fine. Let's addict them to the cigarettes and the gum and the lozenges, all the good nicotine sources. The tobacco is the problem. Tobacco
there you
is
go.
What kills.
Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6. Of course, Loveline with Mike Catherwood Sunday through Thursday nights at 10. And a fine variety of podcasts, including the Dr. Drew podcast, the Mike and Drew podcast, the Adam and Drew podcast. That's all at drdrew.com or podcast1.com. Thanks so much for the time, Doc.
Thank you, guys.
All right, you guys. I think the whistling's covered. I don't think you need to add. All right, that's fine. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock. Greg Fitzsimmons, very funny man, joins us in studio coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I like fits in the tantrum. Well, I like some of the tantrums. I don't like all the tantrums. But fits in a couple of the tantrums are awesome. That's their latest.
Put that in the file.
Put it in the file.
What?
And we made him wait for it, too, by whistling.
I know.
Just saying. Hey, Ralph, is your time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean show? What's going on?
Been talking about it. Going to continue to talk about it. One of my favorite events of the year is PaleyFest 2014. This is the event put on each and every year by the Paley Center for Media, previously known as the Museum of Television and Radio. And what they do is they get together the casts and creative teams behind some of your favorite television shows, past and present, and they give you an evening with these people. You attend and you listen to their stories and the behind the scenes of some of how some of your favorite TV shows were created. And then you get a Q&A session where you can ask your own questions of these people. And it's a fascinating evening if you're a television fan, especially if you're a hardcore fan of any of these shows. And it's a great lineup this year. You can go to paleycenter.org for more details and to see if there's any tickets left, because some of these events are sold out. I'm pretty sure this one is. That's why it's very special that I'm able to give you a pair of tickets for Lost, the 10th anniversary reunion.
Yeah!
Oh, wow.
Will they tell us how it ended for real?
I know how it ended, and it was awesome. I'm one of the few people who loved the ending of Lost.
Maybe they'll show us the real episode that they filmed and didn't air.
How dare you? How dare you?
The one with closure. That made sense.
It had plenty of closure.
Be cool.
It was cool. Maybe it would be cool. But you be cool, man.
If I recall correctly, Bean was hot and cold on each, like, every season
every week,
of Lost.
Every week he would come back. Week. Yeah. Ha! This is the worst show ever. This show,
best show ever.
Has lost all of its charm and interest.
No,
what a great episode last night. Did you see that? Can you believe they got into the Dharma Initiative?
That I bailed and watched it to the bitter end, even though it started sucking in the middle of season two. That's my memory.
How do you bail and
season
watch it?
Two.
Oh, wow, I see.
So who's going to be there from Lost?
Shut up. You don't get to talk about
it. No, I'm serious.
You don't get to talk about it.
The one that you're giving away, who's going to be there?
The cast of Lost and the creative geniuses behind Lost will all be in attendance.
Will Mr. Echo be there?
That's the cool thing about these.
Yeah, everybody shows up. If you are a hardcore Lost fan, then you want to attend this. And there's a great possibility that you got closed out and weren't able to buy tickets. I've got your tickets. But here's what. I'm not going to sort of give them to somebody like Bean, who's just a douchebag flip-flopper who didn't really love the series the way us Lost fans loved this series. So I'm going to ask you a trivia question. You have to answer it correctly if you want these tickets. First person through with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067 will win the tickets. Here's your trivia question. There are, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Dharma stations on the island that we know of.
Okay.
Throughout the course of the series, there were 10 Dharma stations. I need you to give me the names of at least three of them. Three Dharma station names. They were all named. They all had their own code name.
I couldn't give you one.
Oh, I could give you.
Bill Bixby.
The Bill Bixby station. That was
one.
One
of them?
Yeah. I could get. I was thinking before I looked this up, I could probably do about half of them off the top of my head.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That was not the name of the station, no. So I need. That was the boat that Penny that was on. Oh, remember, okay. Penny was on the Leonardo
right.
DiCaprio,
that's
the
right.
USS Leonardo DiCaprio. I need three Dharma stations from you. That's what you got to give me. 1-800-520-1067. First person through with the name of three Dharma stations, you're going to get those tickets. And you're
from Dock's Landing, the very lovely and talented Joan Van Ark.
Really?
That's a stretch even for you.
Really?
To go into a lengthy Jerry Lewis telethon introduction.
Come on,
even for you,
edit that.
Even for you, that's a mistake.
Edit that down. You don't just start at the
right
beginning
now,
of the show.
Don't even participate in the rest of this segment. Just get on your computer and edit that down.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Yeah, you got a zero.
How dare you?
You got a zero.
Tragic news, boys and girls. William Shatner has quit Twitter. No longer on Twitter. He quit and deleted his Twitter account on March the 12th, signing off with a short farewell message. It seemed like he was cheesed off at somebody.
Say live long and prosper?
No, that was Spock. By
oh, way. Sorry.
My dear friends, after much deliberation, I've made this...
excuse me, I'm not hearing William Shatner reading these tweets right now.
That's true.
My dear friends, after much deliberation, I've made the decision to leave Twitter. It's not an easy decision, but it's the right one for me. Then he tweeted, "The time has come," the walrus said, "to talk of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings." And that was it. Whew, he
I just went away.
That's weird.
And then the next day, he came back to Twitter.
Is that true?
Less than 12 hours later, he fired up his Twitter profile and started tweeting again with this tweet. Made a bad midnight decision.
Wow.
Pressured by too many things on my plate. In a peak, I quit Twitter. Boy, did I make a mistake. My best, Bill. And now he's back there.
That's awesome.
He made a big stand. He said, no more. You people are just, forget it. I'm off and forget. Oh, wait a minute. I'm back.
What do you suppose?
Twitter for some people is like crack. I think they think, I'm going to walk away from this. It's bad for me. It messes with my psyche. I get in fights with strangers over BS, over daylight savings time, and it's just not worth
saving.
It. I'm going to quit. And they walk away, and they go, damn, I miss tweeting. I wish I'd go back and tweet some more. And that's what they do. They come back.
That's funny.
So that was hit and a miss from William Shatner. I'm glad he's back there. Do you follow, Phil?
I don't.
He's very entertaining on Twitter. I really love his tweets, so I'm personally glad that he's
there. Can't be that many people in their 80s who are tweeting.
I agree.
He's most with it guy in the world.
Yeah, very plugged in. Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, we've got a Lost fan on the line. Let's see if he can pull this off. Walter?
Yep.
Are you a big Lost fan?
Hydra, Arrow, and Swan.
Hydra, the Hydra station, sure. The Arrow station, and the Swan station. We're all Dharma Initiative stations on the island. Well done, sir. Congratulations. Woo! Hold on, we're going to give you the details, but you're going to see an evening with Lost, the 10th anniversary reunion of Lost, thanks to the people at the Paley Center. Hold on, Walter.
Ask them how it ends.
Stop it. Here's the rest of the Dharma station for those of you who are racking your brain saying, what was the name of that one? As Walter mentioned, Hydra Station, the Arrow Station, the Swan Station, then the Flame Station, the Pearl Station, the Orchid Station, the Staff, the Looking Glass, the Tempest, and the Lamp Post.
Obviously.
What about those would make you remember them 5 years later? I don't know.
Well, they talked about them all the time.
I know, but it was unimportant, sort of.
We're going to go. We have to go to the Swan Station. That's where they're doing this. We have to go to the Swan Station. The Black Pearl Station. Black Pearl Station was where the boat was. Remember the giant pirate ships right in the middle of the island?
Here's what I remember.
They got the dynamite from there?
I remember a plane going down.
Oh, you're horrible. Hydra Station. I think that was the first one, was Hydra. Then the Swan. Remember it had the picture literally of the Swan painted on the hatch to the station with the Dharma octagon around it?
All right.
Come on now.
All right. I'm with you now.
You people.
From Doc's Landing, the very lovely and talented Joan Van Ark.
You're supposed to edit that.
Sorry. I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Again.
This whole
Bean gets a zero for tomorrow.
Deja vu. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor William H. Macy celebrates his 64th birthday today. Apparently, I called him James H. Macy last
day. Oh, is that right? And none of us cried.
I didn't even catch it. But people on Twitter are like,
we're sharp.
Who's James H. Macy? Who's that? Ooh, I love James H. Macy, too.
You should quit.
So I'm quitting Twitter. The Walrus, as the Walrus said, bite me. Here's my last tweet. Dana Delaney's 58 years old. Adam Clayton of U2 is 54. Annabeth Gish is 43. Common is 42. Danny Masterson's 38. Emil Hirsch is 29. Okay, I'm back. I'm back on Twitter.
That's good.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations, Helen Ashansky from Granada Hills just got...
Oh, she's good. No, she does good work, Helen.
You feel good about her?
I do. I like her. I'm very happy for her.
She just got passes for all 3 days of Coachella, which is a great prize. You can win it at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. between now and the festival.
Earlier this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we had the very funny comedian and actor Andy Daly in studio. He's the star of that new review show on Comedy Central. And you remember how weird it was that he came in, Kevin? He was wearing one of those dumb newsboy caps.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Uh-huh. I do.
So now I look
up. And I remember thinking, he looks good in that, but I wouldn't.
Now I look up, and his close personal friend, Greg Fitzsimmons, has just joined us in studio wearing the same goddamn cap. Like, is this some sort of a uniform? Are you guys in a gang now?
Mine,
we didn't get the memo.
Mine is a direct reaction to the hair that lives beneath the cap.
See, or the lack of.
First of all, it's fallen out almost completely on top. And so when the light hits it, I look like a light bulb.
Are you trying not to blind us with your head?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I wear a cap out of respect to the people that I'm around. Andy Daly has a full head of hair,
right.
And he's not enjoying it. And that's a crime.
I see. Yeah.
So he shouldn't be wearing a newsboy cap. You have an excuse because it's the unbearable being of whiteness.
Right. The unbearable whiteness of being.
That's it. That's even better.
It is a shame. He should be having faux hawks. He should be having dreadlocks. If I could go back and enjoy now, it's like I went to get the haircut and the barber goes like this to me. He's like, so what are we doing today? I'm like, I don't know, jackass. What are my options? You got some fun directions we can go in here? Just buzz around the ears. I'll sit here and cry. The usual.
Greg is with us today because this is a big weekend for an Irish-American, right, Greg?
100%.
With a name like Fitzsimmons, it's hard to guess that if there's any Irish in you or not. You perform around St. Patrick's Day every year, always in Los Angeles, or are we just lucking out this year?
No, I do an annual show at the Hollywood Improv, and this is going to be the night before St. Patrick's Day, the 16th.
Why aren't you working on St. Patrick's Day?
Because
bigger name?
This is the pre-party.
It is the amateur night. I like to take actual St. Patrick's Day off. I make corned beef and cabbage at home with the family, and then I beat the kids.
That's nice.
Like any good Irishman would.
That's a nice tradition. Yes.
Yeah, I don't beat them too much. You know, I beat them just right. You know, like we're at
the
end of
it. That's a fine line to work.
Where is that line exactly?
Well, you know it. If as your kid is getting up off the ground, mm-hmm. he just kisses his fingers and goes, perfect.
So your show is going to be March 16th. That's this Sunday night at the Hollywood Improv with noted Irishman Joe Rogan, also on the bill. Wow, that's a great night there. Tickets just $14, available through improv.com. So that'll be Sunday.
You can't possibly be charging enough.
I was just about to say, why is it $14? I didn't know that.
That's a terribly low price.
Yeah,
Christine, please check this number. It should be at least $30. I would imagine this is a $30 show.
Yeah, I don't know if it's $30, but...
A solid 20.
And Jimmy Schubert?
I don't.
He's a filthy, degenerate.
Love it.
Sounds like we should know him.
Yeah, you should know him.
We run in those circles.
Speaking of which, I went out last night. My wife took me out for my birthday to see the Book of Mormon. Have you seen that?
Have seen that.
Wow.
That is awesome.
Did I laugh hard?
That is awesome.
Tears rolling down my face.
You hear things that they sing on a Broadway stage that you wouldn't say in public.
No, it's like that Team America. It's
depraved.
But it's being sung and danced by
a bunch
of gay, Broadway stars.
Yeah, it's great.
And I think the big surprise for a lot of people with Book of Mormon is they know it's won every award that it could win, and it's been running for years now, and everybody hears it's great, and I think they're still amazed at how good it is when they go in and see it.
Yeah, because
it exceeds expectations no matter what you've heard about it.
Right, because again, it's the writing is, they're genius writers. And they're truthful. They go right to the things that you know. Like they're talking about Uganda, and all the jokes are about AIDS and having sex with babies. And you think that's inappropriate. It's like, no, that's what happens there. And they're singing about it in a funny way.
Yeah.
So it hits hard.
Even if you were to take away the really funny music in it, it's a good, solid story that's well-written. And it's crazy that those two guys could do – guys from South Park could put that on.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. And, I hate it when people like Seth MacFarlane and them go like, yeah, I'm going to do every medium. Everybody else is out of work. And they're like – it's like when Eddie Murphy goes, no, I'm going to play every part.
Right. And now Seth MacFarlane he's not just the Family Guy or the Oscars guy or the great movie, the Ted guy. Now he's the Cosmos guy, too.
Cosmos
he's got to wear that hat, too.
And he just wrote and directed a film that he wrote a novel based on while filming and directing.
Is this The Million Ways to Die in the West or whatever it's called?
Right, right.
So he wrote the screenplay and then while shooting the screenplay wrote a book.
On the weekends.
Do you feel you're underperforming, Greg? Is that where this is coming from?
We all are when we're compared with Seth.
I am really, I am told by other people that I'm like the hardest working person they know, and I feel like a sloth.
Yeah.
I don't get up in the morning. I get up at and I have two kids, and people are like, oh, that's going to be so rough getting up in the morning. No, I work really hard. My one caveat is I work at night. And I don't get up with the kids.
Right.
Daddy sleeps till 10 o'clock, 10:30, and then I can function and be a human all night. So
does this throw you off? Like, are you going to be miserable today because you had to get up and come in and fight traffic and all that? Yeah? Bad day?
This would be a tough one.
We apologize in advance. Your wife?
No, it's fine. This is totally bearable. 9 o'clock on West Coast time. I can handle that.
All right.
And then I'm flying up to San Francisco to do shows for the next few nights.
Oh, okay.
Hey, we got to take a break. Greg Fitzsimmons is here on the Kevin Amin Show. Again, the St. Patrick's Day show is actually the night before. It's March 16th, this Sunday at the Hollywood Improv. We have confirmed from the website, yes, $14. You got to fire somebody.
Yeah.
You're not getting enough,
You're getting ripped off.
Yeah, I'm going to say you can get your tickets now for $14 because literally I am calling you when the show ends and we are raising the ticket price.
Isn't that what it costs to go see a movie at the Arclight, by the way?
I mean,
yes.
And the sad thing is I'm getting a big percentage of the door.
Oh, so they can mark it as low as they want.
Right.
It's going to be $9.99 now.
Right, right.
Oh.
So get them. I'm telling you, it's going to sell out. Get them now.
All right, more with Greg when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. The hilarious Greg Fitzsimmons here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, sort of hilarious.
That's a big buildup.
if he charged more, I might be willing to go with hilarious. But at $14, he's amusing, is what I say.
There is a 20% tip charge. I just built it in. Right. Mm.
That's the Hollywood Improv on Sunday night with special guest Joe Rogan. Others perhaps swinging by that we can't mention, but that's going to be a great, great time. You are still doing the show Monday nights on Howard 101 on Sirius XM. You still got the podcast. You're an excellent interviewer, by the way, Greg, and I mean that sincerely.
Well, that's very nice to hear from you. That means a lot.
It's a very, it's a very special, Liam Neeson always says, it's a special set of skills that you have to be able to do. And I sense that you are genuinely interested in the people. You're not just filling time on your podcast. You actually are curious about what's going on with the people you interview.
Well, first of all, I only book people I know because I think those are the only people that would come on. And so I look at it like, in the days where, your cell phone is constantly ringing and you're answering texts and people interrupt you, it's an hour or two where I get to talk nonstop with somebody I like and find interesting with no interruptions. I mean, what a gift that is, because then you go deep into the conversation and it's like they're all bright, intelligent people. And I guess the number one thing is I only book people that are honest, that will talk about anything, because then it can go anywhere.
Is it hard to find those people? I mean, that can't be a majority of people.
Well, it is if you're not worried about getting star names all the time.
Right.
Like I'll bring in musicians or authors and try to bring in people like, music critics and people that – and then obviously the bulk of it is stand-up comics. But only guys, like Andrew Daly or Jim Jefferies or me and Rogan did a 3-hour podcast a couple days ago.
That was a marathon.
Rogan's the best.
Oh, man.
Rogan's another guy who just is – I mean, he's almost like an old school guy in that he would have been fine in the 1600s where the only entertainment was talking among friends.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's
not
a
guy who – I'm just saying he's not a guy who is one of those, every 15 seconds something new, it has to be something new. He's not afraid to spend the time to get deep into something.
Plus, he's crazy.
He's crazy.
And he is crazy. Yeah.
Now, speaking of crazy, we need to talk to you about your podcast. You were just telling us off the air. Do you mind telling us on the air what you do in San Francisco?
Oh, no. It's
for your podcast? Because I think it might be the worst idea ever.
Yeah, it is. It is truly a horrible idea, and I'll probably do it again this week.
All right, good.
So I do Fitzdog Radio once in L.A. a week, and then the other one I do, if I'm on the road, I do it from the road.
Okay. Good.
So in San Francisco, on the Thursday night show, because it's an earlier show, I say to the audience before I get off stage, if you guys want to keep going, my hotel's across the street. And I invite the entire crowd into my hotel room.
I'm in room number whatever.
And it has the security downstairs. You can't get in the hotel, without a key. So then when the show ends, they're not coming back. But, yeah, I'll have 30 people in the room. And I just stand in the corner and I do a podcast. And I interview some of them. And then I throw them all out.
What a bizarre idea. Has it ever gone south?
Nope. It goes great.
You've never had to kick anyone out, or somebody tries to talk too much, or they get too drunk,
or steal your suitcase.
No, because they've already seen me for an hour that night, so we've built up a relationship on their end anyway. I don't know who they are, but they know who I am enough.
Right.
And I find that it's like really intimate, and it's like they're buzzed the whole time that we're doing something that's this weird. I try to always do something strange. Like
right.
I was talking to this woman in the front row at one point who was with her mom, and the mom was hot. The daughter was smoking hot.
Okay.
And we established that the mom had never smoked pot before, and the daughter was a pothead. So we did a podcast immediately after the show in the green room where me and the feature act got high with the mother and the daughter.
Awesome.
And the mother started laughing, and for about 20 minutes of the podcast was just giggling without being able to stop herself. And then we started asking the daughter about when she lost her virginity. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah. As long as you got mom laughing,
right,
it's all good.
Right, right. It all came out.
That's amazing. Is that one up? Can I find that one on iTunes?
You know what? There's a premium membership. I'm going to give you guys a code for it. But normally you got to pay $10 a year, and then you get like 400 back episodes. But normally you can get like
don't
the most recent
code.
40.
We can pay $10.
Will you really?
Of course.
Bam.
That's a good deal.
Until we're off the air.
Hey, I wanted to ask you this, Greg, because you know a lot of people. You've interviewed a lot of people. When you saw the Between Two Ferns video this week with Zach Galifianakis and the president, could you have done that if you had been in the Zach Galifianakis chair? Do you think you would have been able to pull that off?
Without a doubt, I could not. And Zach's one of my best friends, and so I've been watching this Between Two Ferns thing and watching the level of celebrities go higher and higher.
Yes, it keeps
Justin
getting
Bieber
peaked.
Was the
it's
one before.
Yep.
Yeah, how do you beat that?
Putin.
And right.
It's the only way.
He's a great sense of humor, so that'll go well.
And the amazing thing is that if you watch the correspondence dinner, Obama is as good as any comedian I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's
his
got great
timing.
Yep.
Is amazing. And he obviously is not writing the jokes, but, you know, neither are any of the late night talk show hosts. The gift is knowing which jokes are going to work.
Right, right.
And I mean, he hits it out of the park.
Now, I understand. I read, I can't remember the guy. Who's the guy who's behind the scenes who engineered this? He's with the Scott Aukerman podcast.
Right.
Whatever his name is. The guy who.
Joe Wagner?
Maybe that was him. I read a debriefing on how the whole thing came together and how they've been trying to get, you know, work it out for the last few months. But it all came together very, very quickly. And apparently what we see is mostly a pretty much a one take. I mean, they were with
no
the president
kidding.
For like 20 minutes. I mean, that's
wow.
all they had with him or something like that. And it's so good. You can't, I mean, I don't know how Zach was able to do the act that he does on that show in, you know, 3 feet away from the president of the United States and say things that were so impertinent to his face.
But that's the beautiful thing about Zach is everywhere he goes, it's ridiculous.
Right, right.
His comedy is ridiculous. The things he says, you got to have balls the size of bowling balls. I don't know. I don't know how you do that.
Have you talked to him since it happened, though, Greg?
I texted him, but I haven't heard back. But I
could say that.
I
texted him. I haven't heard back.
Right,
I mean,
right.
So
I do
what?
A lot of that. I do a lot of that. If
when
you look
the president
at
when the president is busting him on doing a third Hangover movie, you just go, "This is a weird world we're living in right now."
Right, right. Yeah, and when he said, "What's it like being the last black president?" Are you kidding me? I mean, that's the thing is Michelle Obama is the same way. She goes on late night talk shows and she dances.
Yep.
I mean, the thing the Republicans hate about them is that there will never be a cooler couple in office. You know, you may not like his policies.
A lot of people hate his policies, but they can't argue.
They're charming.
They're like
charisma.
They're incredibly good looking. They're fun. They're quick. They're, you know, it's amazing. And I think with Zach's gift is that he really doesn't care. You know, and I think that's hitting the nail on the head. Every really great comic, they don't care.
Right, but you cannot care. But then when you walk into the White House.
Right.
And the president comes out, who's one thing to be thinking about interviewing. It's another thing to be sitting next to.
It just seems like somehow that care would be forced on you.
Right.
Like even if you don't care normally. That's why we're such, you know, we admire him so much. It's crazy.
Did you see Chelsea Handler and Piers Morgan yesterday?
No, I heard about it, though.
Oh,
I heard it was ugly.
God.
Was it ugly?
It was ugly. And here's the thing. I hate Piers Morgan.
You do. I hate Chelsea Handler.
Wow.
So are even.
Oh, so we'll both. Everyone wins. Everyone wins.
What happened?
Well, basically, I mean, he's going off the air. And I mean, his whole style is so smarmy.
It
and
is.
He goes for whatever the worst things are about your life. He goes straight to them. And so she just had no time for it. And she just said, "You're the worst interviewer I've ever seen."
Oh, my God.
And then he tried
and
to
And then
keep,
it was off.
She, well, yeah, it was. Yeah, the gloves were off at that point. And it was awkward. And oh,
Love
oh
it.
God.
I'm
going
to have to find
it.
That.
Yeah. It's like if you dislike either one of them, you're going to watch the clip like five times.
Greg, have you ever gotten into a very confrontational situation with any of your guests? Or no, because they're friends?
Yeah, I mean, again, I only ask on people that I like, but I guess the one time was I had on a guy, I won't say who it is, but he's
What was his name?
Mike O'Malley.
Okay. And most people can't take that kind of heat either, so don't feel bad.
You press me. Who I like a lot, and he's a friend, but he's a Catholic. And when I started kind of grilling him about being Catholic, which I don't know how not to do because I used to be a Catholic.
Right.
And it's so hard for me to wrap my head around it.
Right.
And he sort of got defensive. And I look back and I go, I should have laid off after 25 minutes. And that's probably the only time I really feel like I pushed a guest further than I should have. And
right.
that was my own baggage.
We do that about once a day. We try not to, but
we do. Do it to me.
Well, we're out of time, Greg.
$14. That's what we're saying to you.
Bucks. That's it.
St. Patrick's Day show, not on March 17th. That's how Greg rolls. It's going to be at the Hollywood Improv this Sunday night with special guest Joe Rogan. Improv.com for just $14. And, of course, the Fitz Dog show on iTunes and then the satellite show on SiriusXM on Howard 101 Monday nights at 7.
And can I just plug one other thing? Sure. I have a one-hour special that was on Comedy Central, now available on Netflix called Life on Stage. Very proud of it. I taped it in my hometown in New York, and I think it's really special.
It's on Netflix. Tell people Kevin Spacey is in it.
Right. Kevin Spacey's on it, and the whole cast of Alpha House.
Boom. There you go. Get that through Netflix. Greg, it's always great to have you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44.
Hey, don't forget Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Tickets are going on sale tomorrow at noon. Go to KROQ.com for all the details about a great show happening April 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Proceeds benefiting the Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Great lineup this year, Ralph, huh?
I agree. A little something for everybody. And
so excited. Jim Jeffries and Patton Oswalt and Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, ADF, Taylor Williamson, Adam Carolla. Good stuff.
Not a stiff in the bunch. And then Mike Realm. Yeah, Mike Realm on the ones and twos.
Yeah,
and
he
puts together those mashup videos for us and does just such an entertaining job.
Just fun. Yeah. But what if I want to go get something to eat or drink during the show? Then what?
Oh, people are upset. Too many comics.
That's what the King of Mexico was trying
Enough
to tell
time
us.
To eat and drink. You want to eat and drink? Go to a freaking restaurant. It's a comedy show. Sit your ass down and laugh. Oh, people are complaining they can't get their nachos in time. Well, go to Ernie's on Lancashire. Get all the nachos you want.
Before the show.
Right. Yeah.
Tickets are going on sale tomorrow at noon. And don't forget, you can get up close and personal with lots of great perks in the party bus section.
The party bus. Not Who included. Bought a pot of bus?
Party bus not included.
It is for me. I'm going to include a pot of bus.
Time for the showbiz beat now here on a Thursday. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I do have a really cool thing to give away. Pairs of passes to our special K-Rock advanced screening of a brand new Arnold Schwarzenegger film called Sabotage.
Yay!
Spock, sabotage the system.
Sabotage.
Spock, sabotage the system.
It's sabotage, Bill. It's not sabotage.
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Well, it's got me there. All right. No matter how you say it, sabotage or sabotage.
Sabotage.
It's Schwarzenegger. I know Schwarzenegger says it. Sabotage.
Yeah, it's all wrong.
Yeah, so it's barely a word. Arnold Schwarzenegger co-stars along with Sam Worthington. Go ahead, Bean. Get it out. I know you're going to burst an appendix if you don't.
It's true.
What?
It would
what
be you? Physically disabled.
Wait, what are you expecting me to say about Sam Worthington?
Oh, come on.
It's
dog spot. Make your stupid joke. Didn't even think about that.
Oh, come on. Stop it. You've never heard that
Didn't
name before and not
even
thought of it.
Think about it.
F you.
Terrence Howard
play members of an elite DEA task force.
Put that in the file, because we know he was thinking
that's
about
right.
it.
That's right. Let's file him in absentia.
Wait, am I in trouble now for not saying something?
Because we know you were thinking about it.
And then
you're lying,
denied you were thinking about it.
And you're going in the file for
thinking
it.
Because we made the joke first.
Here's Cal Worthington and his dog Spot.
Yeah. Members of an elite DEA task force who rob a drug cartel safe house, and then they find themselves being taken out one by one.
Sounds like my kind of movie.
Sure does. It sounds loud.
Yep.
And
action
with violence.
Sure.
And lead flying around left and right. You want to go? Why not? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. You'll be going to our advanced K-Rock advanced screening. Well, that makes sense because it's advanced.
Mm-hmm.
On March the 19th at LA Live, down there by the Staples Center. But if you don't win, don't worry. Theaters will have Sabotage in it on Friday, March the 28th. You can check it out then. Here's another example of how baseball's no goddamn good for anybody. The United States Mint is going to produce a coin to honor Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame, which celebrates its 75th anniversary this year. They're going to produce a coin that you can spend. It's actual currency.
Okay.
A special coin to commemorate baseball. The coin will come in a $5 denomination, a $1 denomination, and a half-dollar denomination. It will feature a baseball on one side, a baseball glove on the other. Oh, and yes, it will be shaped like a bowl.
What?
It will be concave.
Why?
Because baseball of the stadium? Blows. Because I guess it's like a baseball mitt. It's like a mitt. It'll have a...
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
It'll be curved.
That's a terrible like a idea.
Yeah. Wait, try to use that in a vending machine. That's going to be a good time. You try and do your laundry there with a pocket full of baseball coins that are shaped like bowls, like little cups. Great for sake, not great for spending.
That may have been a miscalculation.
You think?
That's a weird choice.
Let's start just making misshapen coins now. What the hell's going on?
Baseball.
What did that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Kanye West continues to impress.
And by continues, you mean...
He was in Paris. Fan came up to him with a Sharpie. Could not be more excited. Dying to get an autograph. Rapper went off, started screaming at the man. See, Kanye was complaining that he had a white sweater.
Right.
Kanye was wearing a white sweater.
Okay.
The man was carrying a Sharpie.
Right.
What if the Sharpie touched the white sweater?
But did it?
No.
Well, then...
But it could have. He was close.
What?
Could have touched it. The pen could have touched the white sweater.
Right, but it didn't.
But then what happens? Then you have to dig out of your pockets a big handful of bowl coins and go buy yourself a new sweater. Screamed really? At the guy.
Oh, he is so...
Let off on him.
So losing it.
The guy apologized, backed away, and said, may I please have an autograph? To which Kanye said, oh, of course not. Refused his offer for...
That's where I read on the sweater.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm doing something else on the sweater. It involves me unzipping. You think you ink on a sweater? Where do you try to get this out of the sweater, pal?
Why do you think the song is in Paris is called in Paris? Because is in Paris.
There you go. And you were there, and then a man was close to you with a pen.
Wow.
And you were upset. Jaden Smith doesn't like being far away from his girlfriend, Kylie Jenner. This is like,
wow.
It's like the spawn of hell. They're just all breeding now. The Kardashians are breeding with the Smiths. Jaden, who's 15 years old, doesn't like being far away from Kylie Jenner. Of course, half-sister to the Kardashian clan. So he's doing what any 15-year-old lovesick boy does. He's renting a home in Malibu so he can be closer to her.
God. I did that when I was 15.
Did you rent your own house in Malibu?
Yeah,
we all did.
A couple of them.
We all rented our own homes at 15 to be close to our girlfriends. Because, you know, that's what you do when you're 15.
Wow.
Boy, this guy is just being jet-streamed into the spiral of decay.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have a career yet, and he's already just going to be, he's going to just Bieber out.
But he's already won a Razzie. He's got that.
That's true. He's got that under him. Robin Thicke continues on his campaign to try to reunite with his wife, Paula Patton.
Is it sad yet?
It was sad in the beginning. Took the stage at Madison Square Garden. Started going on a long speech about his wife. Asking everyone in the audience to learn to forgive each other and love each other. And most of all, hold tight to the one you love.
anything about playing less grab ass with other women when you're married?
Didn't mention that.
Any singing?
Robin Thicke apparently went out with some friends on Monday in West Hollywood. Went out with buddies like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh?
They went out to a nightclub. They said they were seen sucking down pineapple tequila. Oh, sweet Jesus. What a bunch of Fruit Loops. Pineapple tequila. You should kiss my ass. Drink like a man. That's why your wife left you, thick, you giant pansy. You're drinking pineapple and tequila. Amstel Lights and Cristal. And because Thick is so desperate to get his wife back, he was banning any woman. Security wouldn't let any woman near the table. No women were allowed to come near the table. So Robin Thicke could show what a good boy he was being. Which makes me think, what about your pals you're out with?
Yeah, no kidding.
You're going to lose your friends as well as your wife. You keep up that kind of behavior with your pineapple and tequilas and not letting girls get to the table.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Like a monkey. And I heard you guys talking with Greg about Book of Mormon.
Yes.
Wildly successful Broadway musical. Looks like they're making another big Broadway musical.
Matt based, and Trey?
No.
Oh.
Just the Broadway people.
Okay.
The people that run
the
Broadway.
Peeps.
Based on the movie Pretty Woman, a musical based on Pretty Woman. The heartwarming story of a whore who hooks up with a millionaire who's initially very ashamed to be with a whore, but then buys her a lot of nice clothes and makes her a presentable whore, and then they fall in love. Would you go see Pretty Woman, the musical?
No.
Well, you're wrong.
How about you, Lisa?
Probably not.
Oh, Lisa, you lie.
I don't know. I saw The Wedding Singer, the musical, and it was horrible.
Well,
really?
Here's the thing about turds. When you slap a coat of paint on them and attach some songs, it doesn't make it not a turd.
But
Pretty Woman was a pretty charming movie.
Julia
initially.
Roberts made that movie great. She's not going to be in it.
Or is she?
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Apparently Lisa went to see The Wedding Singer musical.
Wow, who could have predicted that was bad?
I saw five that week, so.
You're running out of choices?
Yeah, pretty much.
One too many.
And Linda Lohan! Apparently left behind her handwritten list of famous guys I've boned at a Beverly Hills hotel on January of 2013, according to this source, who presented that list to In Touch magazine. It was a personal list. She was writing about all her celebrity conquests. She was trying to impress her friends and then tossed it aside when she was done. Stupid. The list has some pretty big names on it. They're not all single guys, an industry insider tells In Touch. 36 men on the list, but however, some of the names in the photo of the list are blacked out because many of them reportedly not single guys. This would rock several Hollywood relationships to the core if these names were to get out.
Robin Thicke.
Here's the names we can read on the list. Joaquin Phoenix. Nico Tortorella. Does that name ring a bell to anyone? Nico Tortorella?
Is he a stroke? What is he?
I don't recognize the name.
I'll look him up.
Lucas Haas, young actor. Probably best known for playing Little Kid in Witness. But he's had a lot of film work since then. Evan Peters. Wilmer Valderrama.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
Jamie Burke. Jamie Dornan. Got a whole section of Jamies here. Zac Efron.
What?
Oh, he watched or something. He watched his boyfriend with her.
Nico is an actor and model, it says here.
Justin Timberlake. Colin Farrell. I'm assuming before he sobered up. Heath Ledger. Ryan Rothman, Max George, Guy Berryman, James Franco, Adam Levine. Well, yeah, sure, I've had sex with Adam Levine. Garrett Hedlund from Tron. Some of the names on the big list.
Did you say there are 35 total or just
35? 36 names total.
Is that include the ones that are blacked out?
Yeah, there's three columns of 12.
Is that, how does that sound compared to the average, say, 25-year-old, do you think?
36 men at 25? That sounds about right.
About right?
Yeah, but I mean, she's listing celebrities.
Yeah, these are the famous ones.
Yeah.
This isn't total. That one was left in a hotel room the size of a phone book. I'm still trying to find some men to help lift it, get it out of the room. All right, I'm out of time. Tell me out of time. So just look up the birthdays yourself. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new edition of Thanks for That Info Bean.
How dare you?
Finally.
This has been, I've been holding on to this one for a week. Bean keeps saying no, but we have time. Tomorrow we're going to do it. Internet Roundup tomorrow, brand new one. We have Josh Duboff, who writes for Vanity Fair, and he's going to talk to us about the new indie hipster thing, the monocle.
Oh, freaking monocles. Now, can we order a monocle directly from him, or how is this going to work?
I'm not sure that's our angle.
Who on this show do you think's the first guy to get a monocle?
Dave.
No, Bean.
It would be Bean, absolutely.
Monocle and ponytail.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's
he'll a be look. At a he'll yeah. be at one of our live events going, oh, but I needed to read with. And he'll be closing one eye, reading
this one eye is weaker than the other.
No, it's a necessity. It's not a fashion thing.
And also the movie Beat and your chance to win tickets for Coachella tomorrow morning on a new show.